Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Get prepared for another smoky day. The air quality was fine about an hour and a half ago. I just checked airnow.gov, and we have dropped into unhealthy levels already at 153 on the air quality alert meter. We've got wildfires in Canada. Expect the thick air to stick with us through at least 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. A man's in critical condition after a shooting in Fargo early Saturday. Police say he was involved in a fight with a suspect before the shooting, which happened near 10th Street and 6th Avenue just after midnight. Search for the suspect continues. He's described as a scruffy-looking white male wearing a red shirt. A motorcyclist is dead following a crash Saturday afternoon in Fargo. The state patrol says a vehicle stopped at a red light on westbound 29th Avenue North at Broadway. When the light turned green, the vehicle entered the intersection and was hit by a speeding motorcycle that ran a red light. The motorcyclist was ejected and later died at the hospital. His name has not been released. A river rescue turned into an arrest in downtown Fargo Saturday afternoon. Police say Raybert Joseph Littlewin Jr. was wanted for failing to register as a sex offender and tried to avoid arrest by jumping in the river near 2nd Street and 1st Avenue North. Rescue boats from both Fargo and Moorhead responded to the scene. They fished him out. He now faces several charges, including refusal to halt and providing false information. A 41-year-old Grafton man drowned on Cass Lake in Minnesota over the weekend. Sheriff's office says a man went into the water Saturday night to fix a boat motor and never resurfaced. Juveniles on board tried throwing him a life jacket, but high winds caused the pontoon to drift. The man's body was recovered nearly 2 hours later. West Nile virus cases are rising in North Dakota. The state now has 14 cases, 6 of them in Cass County. Health officials are urging you to protect yourself from mosquito bites, especially during dawn and dusk when mosquitoes are most active. The National Weather Service has confirmed 4 EF1 tornadoes from Friday morning's intense storms across the Grand Forks area. Winds as strong as 110 miles an hour caused widespread damage, uprooting trees, ripping off roofs, and destroying sheds. North Dakota's interim health chief is labeling digital devices as the largest public health threat. Pat Trainer says lower attention spans and the need for constant distraction are caused by excessive use of cell phones and similar technology. He also notes that digital device consumption is the most significant challenge facing North Dakotans and U.S. citizens. He now wants to make North Dakota a healthier state by raising awareness for the benefits of minimal cell phone use and technology use. Minnesota DNR is taking legal action against Kitson County Sheriff Matt Vig. The agency accuses the sheriff of issuing a fake tag to a farmer who killed an elk near his home. Suit claims the sheriff assured the farmer he would not face charges for taking the animal without proper licensing from the state. The DNR is asking the court to bar Vig from issuing permits. The agency says it alone legally can determine who can hunt and possess wild animals in Minnesota. And Fargo streets were packed yesterday as thousands turned out for the Fargo-Moorhead Pride Parade. Attendees shared with our partners over at Valley News Live, while pride matters, Brooklyn Stefanowicz says it helps people feel like they can be themselves. State Representative Austin Foss said people attending are proud and loud. 5:03, time now for a check on our WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman. Good morning to you, Jace.
Good morning, Bonnie. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. The weekend flew, but they usually
doesn't,
do.
Doesn't it always?
I know. It's like, man.
I just got used to the whole having a weekend, not having to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And
well, pretty quick, you're not going to have much for weekends. Well, you'll have Sundays. You'll be busy with sports on Saturdays.
It'll be Sundays, and it'll be important to get out of the office as soon as I can on Friday morning, so that way we can turn around and hit high school sports on Friday night into Saturday college sports. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Busy weekend in the sports world as always. Minnesota Timberwolves, it was announced this weekend that they will be playing on Christmas Day, which is usually a primetime spot because a lot of folks don't really tune in to the NBA until that kind of Christmas Day. It used to be a triple header, and now there's 5 games going on that day. Minnesota is going to be a part of it. They will be at your son-in-law's favorite team in Denver to take on the Nuggets in Nikola Jokic.
Should be a good game.
Mm-hmm. Well, assuming that both teams continue their progression from last year, so we'll see.
Well, we would hope so.
Yeah. Other 4 games will be Cleveland at New York, San Antonio at Oklahoma City, Houston at L.A., and Dallas at Golden State. So that will be your entire slate of games on Christmas Day. Minnesota Twins, well, trades must have worked because they just walked off the Kansas City Royals 5-3 in 11 innings on Sunday afternoon. Rookie second baseman Luke Kuechel hit the walk-off two-run homer. Ryan Fitzgerald also hit a two-run homer. It was his first big league hit. Ryan Jefferson had an RBI. Jose Urena gave up one run over three runs inning and a no decision. Cole Sands gave up two runs while recording only one out. Minnesota is now 5-4 since the trade deadline, which may not seem like a huge improvement, but it is because they were struggling going into that trade deadline. They're 56-61 on the season and are currently 5 games out of the final wildcard spot with 45 games remaining in the regular season. So you know what? You never know. Twins are off to New York to take on the Yankees beginning Monday night, which first pitch is scheduled for 6:05 local time, and game coverage is available on MLB Network. Locally, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks defeated Sioux City 4-2 in the series finale. They take that series 2-1. Angel Cabrera gave up only one run over 5 2/3, eventually earning the win. Nazwal Paulino tossed 2 scoreless innings out of the bullpen. Colton Davis gave up 1 run over the final inning and a third, picking up the save. Michael Hallquist led the offense. Hallquist led the offense with a 2-run home run. The Redhawks improved to 47-34 on the season. They are off today before returning home to Newman Outdoor Field on Tuesday night for another series against, you guessed it, the Sioux City Explorers. Mm-hmm. Minnesota Vikings took on the Houston Texans in our first preseason game. They won that one 20-10 Saturday afternoon, but the main story was starting quarterback J.J. McCarthy completed 4 of 7 passes for 30 yards while also picking up 8 yards on the ground in his only drive of the game. Sam Howell took over, and he took the majority of snaps, going 11 of 13 for 105 yards, along with adding a rushing touchdown. So we'll see if that not necessarily solidifies him. It gives him a leg up in that backup spot. Interesting note, Max Brosmer, the former FCS quarterback who went to Minnesota, University of Minnesota last season, he was 5 of 8 for 47 yards and had a really nice touchdown pass in the back of the end zone. 12 players caught at least one pass, led by Jordan Addison and Lucky Jackson's 3 receptions apiece. Running game, not a ton to report there, really. Miles Price caught a couple passes for 18 yards. Xavier Scott led the way on the ground with 7 rushes for 40 yards, and then Jordan Mason had 4 carries for 20. Defensively, the Vikings had 3 interceptions. Mekhi Blackman led the defense with 5 tackles. Vikings host the Patriots in the second preseason game this coming Saturday. Kickoff set for noon. At U.S. Bank Stadium. PGA Tour St. Jude Championship at TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. Justin Rose defeated J.J. Spahn over 3 playoff holes after both shot 16 under par. Rose took home $3.6 million in earnings. Spahn made $2.1 million in the tournament. So that's a big drop-off.
Yeah, it is.
So, I mean, obviously you want to play to win. Scottie Scheffler and Tommy Fleetwood tied for third at 15 under. Unfortunately, Tom Hoge missed the cut after shooting 6 over par. Minnesota Lynx. These last two victories, Bonnie, they go ahead and they beat the New York Liberty 83-71. I was watching part of it, but I felt like I was jinxing them, so I turned it off. Mm. So you're welcome, Lynx fans, because they went on to win. But they've beaten the New York Liberty, probably second-best team in the league. They beat the Las Vegas Aces, a multiple-time champion, both without Nafisa Collier.
Yeah.
And those are statement wins, in my opinion. Obviously, the New York Liberty without, what's her name, Brianna Stewart. So Stewie's not been playing because she's been injured. So you kind of take out Stewart, you take out Collier. It's kind of even that way. But still
players.
Able to find ways to win without Nafisa Collier, who is your all-league MVP. We'll see how soon she can come back. They don't play again until Saturday, where they'll play once again the New York Liberty. That game will be scheduled for tip-off at 1 p.m., and game coverage will be available nationally on CBS. So you want to tune into that because that'll be a great game. And tonight from 6:30 to 8 p.m., a track talk with Jason Berg. He'll get you up to speed on all things in the local racing scene and beyond.
All right. Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has issued an air quality alert. That's in effect until 9 tomorrow morning due to wildfires in Canada. Already very unhealthy air out there. It's 153. It's gone up over the past hour and a half, 2 hours here. It was good not long ago, but not anymore.
Well, I was hoping. I didn't think it was possible. I was hoping you were going to say it was fog this morning, but
no, it's smoke. You can smell it out there. Like I said, about 3:30, it was good conditions, but it's really settled in. 85 for our high temp today. Hazy sunshine. Winds will be south-southwest 10 to 20. Low of 60. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Areas of smoke and haze before it clears out. 80 for the high temp, northwest winds 10 to 25, and Wednesday partly sunny, high around 84. Right now it's partly cloudy. We have 59 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo, winds out of the south, southwest 6 miles an hour. 5:10, time for your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio, 5:16, partly cloudy, 59, but it is smoky out there, unhealthy air quality alert currently going on, and the smoke will continue with us, looks like an air quality alert in effect until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Question of the morn, if you wrote a book about your workplace, what would the title be? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. You're the friends. I'm Bonnie. He is Jace Denman. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, you have to show up.
I do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You've been told.
I thought it was volunteering. I was just doing a good deed every day.
Are you volunteering every day? You're going on
thing? I was voluntold.
Yes, you were.
That I was on this show.
Well, you shouldn't have been so good when you filled in once or twice.
I wouldn't go that far.
You were the best we had.
That's way more accurate, that's for sure.
Chris Larson will have your WDAY radio news coming up at the top of the hour. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki will be in, and Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY radio sports. Friday morning, if you guys might remember that, it was a bumpy morning across parts of our listening area.
Yes, Friday morning, just like yesterday.
Yeah, well, so the National Weather Service sent teams out to do damage assessments of tornadoes. There were several tornadoes, including four EF1s in Grand Forks.
Wow.
So, and that's, we had...
we had the one...
Lindsay?
Is
it Lindsay?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Those popped up. I mean, I guess the good thing was, I mean, I was probably asleep earlier than I thought I was going to be on Friday night, and I know there was rain, I believe, Friday night at WeFest, correct? I don't even know.
I don't know where my weekend went. My weekend just turned into a blur. Thursday, they had rain Wednesday night, so it was already soppy out there. But there were storms that rolled through early Friday, through the ones at Grand Forks, but they also saw some over there. But Friday night, I don't remember, honestly.
Friday night was, I think, at least as far as the metro goes, was much tamer than possible. Because, I mean, even towards, 5 to 6 p.m., there was, some sun peeking out, and I'm like, well, I wonder if that's going to mess with the weather, like Dean said. But it seemed like I went to sleep, and I wasn't awoken by any huge storm blowing through the area.
Yeah, I slept really good Friday night. Yeah, it was a good night. My oldest daughter was in town, so we had an extra one in the house on top of the extra ones.
There you go. Full house now.
I know, but it's just like, everything is kind of a blur. Got another week of this.
Oh, I know.
2 weeks? How many weeks? When's the 22nd? Is it next Friday? Next Friday. Friday, we're evicting some people. They're telling me I can't evict them. You have to give us 30-day notice, they said. It's like, your house is ready. You're getting evicted next Friday.
Go away.
And take everything that you left behind when you graduated from high school, too. All the rest of your garbage down in the crawl space. Kids always leave stuff behind when they move out.
Now
you're married. You have your house. You have your second house. So, well, I think they sold the first house. But
let's see. 89, so I have 36.
You still have stuff at home, too?
I still have stuff at home from my stepson. And I know exactly where it's sitting. There's two boxes out in the garage. Nothing probably earth-shaking or anything, but still, it's two boxes that have been sitting in this one spot in the garage ever since he moved back to the area. And you're just like, oh, okay, we can get it. Well, it's still there.
Yeah, lots of well, not lots. Probably the kids have stuff that's left under the crawl space that is condensed to a box or two. Mm-hmm. But some stuff we just donated because it's like, let me see. You moved out 7-9 years ago, whatever it should be. You have been home multiple times. You have not chosen to take this stuff, clothing, et cetera. It's getting donated.
My folks, I mean, granted, once the three of us moved out, all when we took off to college at separate times, a lot of that stuff just stayed there. And then over the years, it gets packed and put away. There's some of the old toys were used for the grandkids. Now the youngest grandkid has kind of moved on past some of these older toys and stuff. So mom and dad, once again, there was another round, I believe this spring, of spring cleaning where it was, okay, we found a box of this. We've got these old boxes of toys. Are any of them, collector's items per se or something you want to keep? Otherwise, we're going to donate it.
Yeah.
So there was a few things that my brother did want to keep. There was a couple things I wanted to keep. I mean, there's been times when there's been a drawer full of old high school stuff, and it might have been, you know, my brother's practice jersey or his football or basketball jersey, and since he didn't want it, I'm like, well, I'll take it just because it still reminds me, obviously, of home, and I'll throw it in a drawer or in a box somewhere that I have, but it's not like we're necessarily wearing it or anything, but... You know, I'm sort of sentimental in that way, that there's certain things I don't want to get rid of.
I get that. I just hate clutter. And
As long as it's not clutter around the house, as long as I got a storage space for it, either in the garage or in the cubbyhole underneath the steps, well, then I'm fine, you know.
I even went through – I've got a hope chest that's filled with old photo albums because that's what you did back in the day, right? You took pictures. You saved them. I even went through some of those photo albums, and I think I got rid of, like, two of them where if they were just random pictures, you know, you're at college – gatherings and parties
and whatnot.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Of course, if I went through there and if there were meaningful pictures, you know, of grandmas or aunts or uncles or something that meant, you know, because some of these pictures, it's like, well, I remember their first name, but that's about all I remember. And who knows where they went 40 years after the fact. So, I tried to downsize that because, I mean, what happens afterwards? I don't look through those old photo albums. My kids don't want photo albums. They have everything digital nowadays, too.
Yeah. So. Well, the funny thing was, is back in the day, you would take a picture and you would hope it turned out. You get it developed, and you're like,
shoot. Having to bring in, and then sometimes you have those little disposable cameras.
Yeah.
That's one thing I wish I had more pictures from college than I actually do, you know?
Yeah.
Like at the college radio station, I think I only have like a couple of them.
I don't even know.
Because I didn't really have a camera.
I had some old photos from college into probably living in Tucson, but I don't even know. I can't remember which box those are even in anymore. They're in a box somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's still, they're not real convenient to try and dig them out. But, yeah, if they were digital, that would be...
Yeah. Lots of clutter still, and I'm sure the rest of you, too, are the same. That's like, if you get into a crawl space or storage closet or whatever, I'm sure there's stuff you could... part with that's not sentimental. All right, question of the morning. If you wrote a book about your workplace, what would the title be? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Kevin used to be in plumbing and heating. Maybe he still is. How high can we pile it? Piled high and deep. PhD. Plumbing and heating doctors, get your waiters. Oh, boy. Yeah, some of those. The routine stuff is fine, like the new builds, right? But sometimes you get in, I can just, I know some plumbers. I've heard stories how gross.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Times. Yeah. I would say, if you think I'm nuts, you should see the rest of the crew.
True.
That would be my book title.
Yeah, I've been trying to come up with
ones. We're all a little nutty.
Yeah, I've been trying to come up with ones, you know, and it almost, still workshopping the title, but... You know, it can also apply to parenthood as well. But they got to do it.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Different rules apply.
Yeah. Different rules apply for different people. So, yeah.
Crash says, nobody told me there was math.
Yeah. That's always a good one, too.
And some people don't like math.
No. Sometimes people struggle with math, even though it's something that really can't be disputed.
Mm-hmm.
Although there's those ones that they put on social media where it's just like, what's the answer to this? And they give you like four options and none of them are right. And people argue over because...
Oh, they do mind tricks like that?
Well,
like-
it's like they'll do, you know, this plus that times this minus this divided by that. And of course, people forget the rules of math.
Yeah.
Where you have to do the multiplication and division first. And then you go back and do the addition and subtraction. And then there's these arguments back and forth. Then it makes you second guess. You know, it's like, well... You know, sometimes it's just the way it's ordered, and sometimes you can come up with two different answers depending on which way you look at it, and you're like, crap, I forgot. How am I supposed to do this? Normally you would do, you know, what is it, multiplication, division, or exponents, you know, come first or whatever. There's like an acronym for it.
Wasn't there like some problem-solving thing, too, that you'd, like, they have a storyline or whatever, and you'd have to problem with growing up?
Yeah, we had story problems, like, in math class. You know, you had to basically read this paragraph to figure out what the numbers were, and then you put it into either a math problem, or there's, like, when you got into, like, physics or chemistry, and I was telling my youngest who, she's had more biology classes, and that's a different type of science than, like, chemistry or physics, because chemistry and physics, we had a very good science teacher when I was in high school, Mr. Myers. And once you figure out, because I thought physics was going to be hard for me, but turns out once we had these base formulas we had to use to figure out, you know, this, that, and the other thing. All you had to do is plug the numbers into the formula and you would get it. And so for me, it made sense because math just kind of makes sense.
The key to doing well at that is paying attention in the, just like a foreign language.
Yes.
You've got to pay attention early on in school to learn the basics. Because if you miss all that,
then you're
just missing something.
Yeah. You just, I had a computer programming class like that in college. And I kind of missed the basics when we started that semester. So I leaned heavily on one of my buddies in the dorms because I'm like, I don't get what we're doing here.
Yeah, basics are key for a lot of different, you know, problem-solving things,
well, then,
or languages.
Yeah, and I've always said, too, with math, it's like, don't think about why you're doing, just do the steps. Because we had a couple different math classes that we had to take in college. We had to take this something called finite math, which I don't even know what that was about. And then we took this business calculus. And it's just like, I remember one guy that I was doing, he was in the class with me from my dorms, and he was like, well, how did you get that? I'm like, I just put the numbers in, did the steps that he said, and that's the answer I got. I don't question it, because if you start to question it, then you start thinking
about...
Yeah,
don't overthink stuff.
You overthink it because you're trying to figure out, why am I multiplying this times that and dividing this, and then you're just, then you're off in the weeds somewhere.
And that's the same thing when you're taking a test. It's like going back and switching. Oftentimes you might have it right to begin with, and then you overthink it and switch it, and then you get them wrong. So if you wrote a book about your workplace, what would the title be? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Justine is a teacher. Are we being graded on this? Or, yes, you need a pencil.
Yeah.
How many times you teachers probably hear that? Pencils.
Probably
I'm
way
surprised
too
pencils haven't gone by the wayside with the computer world we live in. But
yeah,
well, how would you fill in those little circles on all those tests you have to
do? I mean, I don't know. It seems as though with my daughters in today's day and age, they've been able to do more and more stuff on their iPads.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, like,
it has replaced a lot of
like
testing with pencils.
You know, math class, they're able to just do all of the questions and stuff and submit it online. I mean, it's really kind of pretty slick, but at the same time, I mean, we had to take those standardized tests with the little dots you had to fill in. Although I think those have evolved enough where, you can use a number 2 pencil on it, but I think if you use a black or a blue ink or something like that, you can fill in those little things as well. But a lot of stuff is online, and I kind of wonder how much of that is
I think like the college testing, I think those are still, those fill in the little.
Could be,
They were when my kids still.
Well, I mean, I just kind of wonder what that's like because like, granted, at the high schools, in middle schools, everybody's issued a device, so then they can do everything on their device. So I just kind of wonder, you know, for test day, then the test becomes available on their tablet and they take it during class and they're just typing away or tapping away on their on their device and being able to submit their answers and grades because then it'd be automatically submitted and computer probably could almost grade it for the teacher if it's a multiple choice one. So I don't know. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah. If you wrote a book about your workplace, what would the title be? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. I know Bonnie used to be a nurse, and my guess is maybe at the VA because her title of her book would be My Honor to Take Care of Our Veterans.
Very makes
nice.
Sense, yeah.
That would be very nice. 701-293-9000. Go to the phone lines, find our friend Polly in Idaho this morning. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning, you two.
How are ya?
Oh, okay, I guess.
You're doing?
Got some more treatment. Got a whole week of treatments and then another week and then we'll sleep from there.
Okay, well, good luck to you on that. I know it probably knocks some blood out of you, so.
Yeah, it does. You driving me nuts? That would be the title of my book.
You driving me nuts,
Because we all drive for that company. And some of us are a little off kilter, shall we say? And I did have a question for Jace. How's your ticker doing?
It is doing well. Next appointment is next month. That'll be the 9-month appointment. So everything's A-okay.
Very good.
Paula, you take care of yourself.
Thank you. You too.
You bet. If you wrote a book about your workplace, what would the title be? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Air quality alert in effect, and the air quality has just gone down the dumper over the past couple of hours. We're now at 164, unhealthy air levels. If you've got harder lung disease, older people, younger people, teenagers, reduce your exposure outdoors the next day or so. It looks like hopefully tomorrow morning that air quality alert is in effect until 9 o'clock. Hopefully after that, things will clear out. I'm seeing winds from the south-southwest today. So usually
out
it's
of the south?
Yeah, usually when we see winds coming out of the north, it makes for worse.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you go outside and you look at airnow.gov, you see it's not good right now.
Well, if you look at my watch, it's only 122. So there's that.
On the air quality
yeah.
level? Oh, really? Yeah. Airnow.gov says 164.
Yeah, I would lean more towards the 166. Although last week my watch told me that the air quality was good or not bad at all, but you could definitely smell the smoke. So it's one of those things that, I mean, it's so bad this year that I think, now come to think of it, I think that when I went out to my garage or whatever this week and I thought it was really bad again.
You did?
But I think.
It was in your head?
No, I think my next door neighbors had a bonfire the night before. So
because we were out golfing yesterday and it was supposed to be smoky and hazy yesterday, but it wasn't. We were pleasantly surprised.
I didn't notice it yesterday because I didn't do a ton of things yesterday, but I finally got out and deterred the backyard and mowed it, and the air seemed fine
to me.
It
was nice, yep. Didn't notice any. No. Like I said, even when I came in this morning and I checked things out, it was good air quality, and that was about 3:30, and then by 5 o'clock when we get on the air here, it's like it just really significantly dropped.
It just came in because I left the house at about 4:45, 4:50 or so, and it was, I mean, I thought maybe it's fog. I mean, that's at least I was
hopeful. You were
hoping
it was fog?
Yeah, instead? I was hoping, but
it's
I'm
not.
Just, no, it wasn't.
It's smoke, yeah. So if the smoke bothers you, limit your time outdoors. I'm in a golf tournament today in the smoke, but it's fine.
You'll be fine.
I'm already coughing. What difference is
it? Yeah, we won't even notice.
I'll probably be coughing more tomorrow. This cough is lingering with my cold's gone, but I still have a cough. But
allegedly.
Whatever.
I'm starting to feel not well.
When I get coughs, it's been like this since I was little. They just linger for me. No, you can't be sick.
What? Why not?
Well, especially in a couple of weeks, don't be sick.
No, stop. I don't want to think about that. Okay. It's too busy.
I'll be checking out for a few weeks.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be a little
So
busy.
Will I.
You'll be fine. Oh, you have to bring your A game that
Oh,
day.
No. It's going to be B minus at best.
Oh, you can do better than that. Come on. Also, the mosquitoes are really bad.
Oh.
And West Nile virus cases are up, so make sure that you are using mosquito repellent. We always called it bug dope, mosquito dope or bug dope. My dad always called it when we were growing up.
We just always called it bug spray. But, yeah, I was outside, and when I was going through the yard picking up landmines, number of mosquitoes out there. So I went and got something for when I was mowing. And technically they're wipes. You just wipe on your skin.
Oh, those ones? Yeah.
And then after I did that, I just kind of kept one in my pocket. I put the other two, I tucked it in the stretchy part of your shorts or whatever, you know. And for the most part, they stayed away. Although I did look down and I think a mosquito was being real sneaky like, because when I looked down on it, on my hand, when I saw the mosquito and swatted, there was obviously some blood. So he got a good drink there for a second. So now then you mentioned that there's West Nile in the area. I'm like,
yes, be very careful.
Super. Yeah. But yeah, that, I mean, for the most part, when you stay on the patio or the deck and you're out of the grass, then it's, I mean, cause I've said this even last week, it's been, I thought the mosquitoes were pretty mild and weren't bothering. I swear every time my wife walks out into the grass, she's getting bit. And so I'm like, well, they haven't been bothering me at all. But yeah, I was walking around the yard yesterday, and granted, with all the rain, that grass grows pretty quick. And when your grass gets longer, it's a better environment for bugs and stuff.
And there's standing water out there from the rain. Yeah, yeah, they did spraying last week too. They did some aerial spraying here on the North Dakota side, but I've also seen them, you know, ground spraying on the Moorhead side too. Cass County Vector Control is going to be doing some truck-mounted spraying in rural Cass County tonight, beginning after 8 o'clock, just because there's a high trap counts there. And WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel reminded us via email that this is something that she's very passionate about. Her dad died of West Nile virus back in 2013. So, you know, take precautions and take it serious. You just never know when you are going to get bit by one of those disease-carrying mosquitoes out there.
Yeah, and it was, like I said, it was a lot worse out in the yard than I thought it was going to. So
my son was complaining on the golf course, and we were out in the middle of the afternoon yesterday about how I didn't notice any mosquitoes, but he was saying he had a couple bites.
Yeah, and it was I was out, you know, towards the – I mean, it was after probably 5 o'clock, getting around 6 o'clock by the time I went out there. So it was just before, in a sense, dusk, and so they were – mosquitoes were heavy there in the backyards, and other little bugs and flying gnats and whatever else is in there.
Flies are terrible.
Yeah, that's what I thought yesterday, too.
We had one in our house that I finally killed after trying to swat it for 2 days.
Well, you know, way to go, Mighty Hunter.
Yeah, well, it was too much work to actually for anybody to go out in the garage to get a fly swatter, so I had to use a kitchen towel.
That includes you, though. I'm just saying.
I know. That includes me and everybody else in my household.
Everybody else is too lazy to get a fly swatter, but not me.
And we've got...
I used the towel, so wait a minute. You didn't get one either.
I did get it. I got it with the towel. We probably have 4 fly swatters, and why are they all in the garage? I think there's one on the front steps, too, for when somebody sits out there with the
towel. Well, because I think a lot of times you don't... Because, I mean... It doesn't bother me as much, especially like normally you put like a little hook or something on the inside of your door that's your cupboards that are underneath the sink, you know, and they're usually just kind of there. But it's one of those things where there's some people, and my wife more so than me, that like they get grossed out because there's probably fly guts all over. You know,
They're dirty. They do.
I think the fun ones though is when you get the little ones that look like a tennis racket, but they have the little battery in it, so you can zap them.
Oh yeah,
that always kind of cracks me up.
There you go.
But then I swear, flies are smart enough to know as soon as somebody grabs a fly swatter, then they scram.
They disappear on you. Yeah,
that's why I think maybe that the fly guts on the fly swatter. I think that scent deters the flies from being around you. So.
Maybe I normally keep one under my kitchen cupboard, but apparently somebody used it and took it out from there, and it's not there anymore. It's in the
rude.
Exactly. If you wrote a book about your workplace, what would the title be? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids, chaos lies within.
It could go for a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yeah, sometimes things get chaotic around here, too, once in a while.
What are you looking around for?
Well, it's calm now. It's just you and I here.
I know.
Chaos will be walking in. Why isn't
calm
he here yet?
Calm before the storm.
Yeah, his name is Dean. He'll be walking in shortly. It's
He's got a few minutes still.
I know. He's fine. Well, why am I getting a text? Oh, he's running late. Okay.
Ah, convenient.
He must have known that we were talking about him or something.
Maybe.
He's getting ready. He's in a golf tournament today, too. So
he's got to wear his loud outfit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you wore a loud one yesterday. I'm like, you're supposed to save that for today.
He's probably got more than one.
He does.
Either that or he'll just wear it again.
And he'll have something that does not match at all, but he doesn't care. Let's see. Doug says if he wrote a book about his workplace, the title would be Some Truth But Mostly Lies.
Sometimes it'd be just making it up as I go along.
Mark, with a meme, that's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
I bet people hear that, depending on what your workplace and what your job is. I bet you hear that from some people like, that's not my job.
Oh, you definitely do, because sometimes...
If you're union, too, I mean, sometimes you can't do certain things.
Yeah, I can see that. But at the same time, you know, it's, you know, when you have those times in work where you have to do, we have to cover for somebody else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't want to be good at something, because then... It's like, oh, this person's really good, so I'm going to keep going to them because they get this stuff done. They get it done quickly before anybody else can get it done, so I'll just keep asking them.
Some of us are just overachievers. And if the more that gets piled on you, the more you're going to do, and that's just the way it is.
All I know is that over the last couple of years, James and I have developed a pretty good amount of, we can't fire them. They're too important.
I always say, and I've always told my kids this, no job is beneath me. I will do anything. Yeah. And especially if you lose your job and you need a job, it doesn't matter. I will go find a job. It doesn't matter if I'm flipping burgers, cleaning bathrooms. No job is beneath me.
You know, and my dad always said that too. Like, especially when I moved out to Arizona, I was struggling to find a job because, you moved down there, and I mean, I kind of had someone who put me in the right direction to get a job when I was in Lawrence, and then when I moved down to Tucson, I couldn't get hired at my buddy's nightclub right away, so I'm trying to find a job. And you're doing it the old school way. You're going through the classifieds. You're sending off resumes. And quite honestly, that way doesn't really work. You have to find a way to get your foot in the door to get an interview, et cetera. And so, I mean, my dad was like, you can do anything. You can go flip burgers if you have to.
Yeah.
And so that was always one of his sayings. But luckily for me, I found a job, went to a temp agency, got a temp job. That company liked me enough. They wanted to hire me full-time, and then the rest is history.
And temp, I know a number of people who've started working for a temp agency, and lo and behold, they work their way into a full-time job at different places. So, yeah, don't discount that. I had a nephew, and it just depends on where you're at. Like, jobs are plentiful around here, but same as you. I had a nephew, they still live in Washington State, he and his wife, but she's an attorney. He had a business degree, I want to say. He had a college grad. It took him over 2 years, 2.5 years to find a decent job. So he was working like in coffee shops, like at a Starbucks or something, because he couldn't find a good paying job in the career that he was in. So it just depends on what part of the country you're in.
It really does, because you want to find that perfect job, but sometimes that job just, you know, the toughest part and the most frustrating part, even going back to when you're in college, is that you interview for places and they're like, well, we're looking for somebody with more experience.
Or you're overqualified. A lot of people hear that.
No, I never had that, Bonnie. But, you know, when it was always like they're looking for more experience, my thought always is like, look, if you get the right kid out of college and you hire them and train them on how you want things done, then you'll have someone trained exactly in the ways you want it. You don't have to have them relearn how they do X, Y, and Z. So there's, you know, pros and cons about hiring people right out of college. There's pros and cons of hiring people with more experience. You know, people with more experience are usually going to demand a higher salary.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're going to have to, you know, adapt the way you want things done, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, that thing, you know, we want someone with more experience is this thing that even my daughter at times, you know, she hears that too, and it's just like, it's frustrating.
It's frustrating, but you just got to keep on trying.
Yep, exactly.
If you wrote a book about your workplace, what would the title be? That's our Bonnie and Friends Question of the Morn, 701-293-9000. You can email studio at wdayradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WTAY Facebook page. I think Jay is in Arizona, but I'm not sure he attends. Mm-hmm. Do you have palm trees in Arizona too?
Yeah, there's
he
a few.
Says no mosquitoes here.
No,
I think that's where he's at. Is it too hot for mosquitoes? Like in Arizona, or
it's too hot for me, so I wouldn't. I mean, I couldn't. I wasn't even outside.
Really, there's no mosquitoes.
I don't think so. No, I mean, because if you think about it, a lot of times we get more mosquitoes here because of the standing water,
wet and wooded areas and grass and stuff. That makes sense, I guess.
Because there's no wet and wooded, and there's no grass.
But I thought mosquitoes were in everywhere, kind of a problem.
I don't remember mosquitoes being in any type of problem in Arizona. I'm trying to remember.
Florida has mosquitoes.
I'm trying to remember if Northern California had many mosquitoes. It didn't really seem like it.
Because you've had some of those tropical climate countries where they've had, the Zika virus. Remember that? There is and malaria, in other countries.
I'm sure there
too,
always can be a chance, but it seemed like mosquitoes, when I lived in Northern California for 5 years, in Arizona for 4 years. Was it only four? Yeah, it was 4 years.
Maybe the lack of standing water, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, Arizona, like I said, there's no humidity, and there's, as far as I know, there wasn't really that many bugs, but there's also going to be scorpions and snakes and things like that.
Cactus. I'll take the mosquitoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit less dangerous, usually.
Just put bug dope on, as my dad called it. Mosquito dope. 5:54, time now to check in with the WDAY Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. 5:57 Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We're just talking about standing water. Those storms that we saw Friday continue to build as they move through Twin Cities. Saw some pretty good rain and storms Friday night. And then over in Wisconsin, did you see pictures or videos of the Wisconsin State Fair? They actually had to close down, cancel the last day of the fair. They had a foot of rain that fell in the Milwaukee area. There was cars that were all stranded there, people that were... Like, you're sitting in your car. This happened to me once when I told you guys I flooded out a news truck once before, where the water's rising, and I remember it was up past my kneecaps as you're sitting down. But I've seen pictures of people, like, they were past their waist in water.
In the vehicle?
Yeah.
I mean,
they were having to get rescued and stuff, or get out and walk and get abandon their vehicles and stuff. That's a lot of rain, a foot of rain.
Mm-hmm. And how long of a time period?
Like
in 24 hours or less than that?
I don't know, but it must have been like Fast and Furious too, because they even had to, one of the prisons, I guess in Nebraska, had to be evacuated. They had to move the inmates there. So Nebraska also saw bad stuff.
Wow.
One person, they blended a Wisconsin and Nebraska story I'm looking at. One person also died in flooding. It looks like in Nebraska.
Wow.
So, but yeah, some of the highest rainfall totals in the Milwaukee area, 8 to 11 inches, one report of a foot of rain. Some guy said his house was just totally damaged. Floodwaters rushed in there. His car was loaded up. They tried to make a run for it. The water came in. The garage started to float even, he said.
Oh, geez.
Manitowasa. Whatever.
Whatever. Just make up a name. I don't know where it's at, Bonnie.
There's some very hard to pronounce. Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. Wauwatosa.
Well, how'd you get an M out of that?
I don't know. I was reading and I was scrolling and I was looking down. It's Wauwatosa.
I was going to say, it's not dyslexia because you didn't read it backwards, but you got it upside down.
I got past it and I was scrolling and I was trying to remember what I had here.
Just say Wisconsin. People just nod and smile. Yeah, oh, Wisconsin.
They had firefighters, of course, and rescue crews were helping people get out.
I can't imagine.
Kansas to Wisconsin, 14 million people were under flood alerts over the weekend. Yeah, that's a lot of rain.
I think even this last week, I think National Weather Service had issued a potential for a flood warning up here.
Yeah, we had some towns that, 6-7 inches? There was that one town.
The one west.
Was it Barnes County or something?
Yeah,
it
was west of Ellendale.
Yeah, down there.
And, of course, the week before, or maybe, I don't know how many days before, maybe, I think it was about a week. Where Hitchcock, South Dakota, which is not that far from my folks' place,
they had seven inches in
like a couple hours.
That's too much rain.
Yeah. I mean, I would think by now that, you know, Dean has been saying we're actually right around average for rainfall. I wonder if we're still at the average amount or if we've kind of pushed above average now.
I saw the National Weather Service had some type of post out about the storms, and somebody had asked the question, like, is this stormier or wetter than normal? And they're like, no, we're getting back to normal. It was just so dry and storm-free the past two seasons that we're actually, like, catching up on that.
Well, that's why, I mean, so we're in August. I mean, yesterday was August 10th, and I had those sections of my yard based on, granted, we got a lot of rain in the last week or so, and so I had to mow it again. But there's certain parts of my yard that are just super long, and usually at this time of year, you're not getting that. You know, even in, especially like in the front yard. I mean, you know, the neighbors are out mowing the front yards, you know, from both, you know, all three places and whatnot. And a lot of times there's been, you know, Julys into August where it's just dry and the grass is just cracking.
Brown. Everybody's lawns look bad.
Really super dry, barely grown.
Most lawns are very nice and green.
They are. I mean, I just even looking back at some of the spots in the backyard that needed to be kind of filled in at the beginning of the summer and whatnot. I mean, they've really kind of filled in nicely and they're just continuing to grow. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, if we've been that dry over the last few years, it does seem like we're above average, but the reality is we're just getting back to normal.
Probably, We are WDAY Fargo. It is 6:01. 6:03, checking out your forecast. It's going to be a smoky day. It already is. Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has issued an air quality alert until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. It's due to those wildfires in Canada. And looking at airnow.gov, our air quality level here in Fargo at unhealthy levels. We're right around 164. So if you have trouble breathing, take precautions and maybe either don't go outside or limit your outdoor activities today. It will be warm. We'll see a high of 85, maybe a little humid today. Winds will be out of the south, southwest, 10 to 20, 60 our overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, haze and smoke before clearing off, 80 for the high. Northwest winds, 10 to 25, 58 the overnight low. And on Wednesday, partly sunny again, a high around 84, winds out of the east. Southeast 5 to 15 miles an hour. Looking at the rest of the week, your 7-day forecast, it looks like our temps pretty much will stay in the 80s through Saturday and maybe just drop slightly on Sunday, the upper 70s for high temp. There's a chance of rain Thursday through Sunday, 20 to 30% chance of rain Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Right now it's partly cloudy, 59 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high top I 29 in South Fargo, winds out of the south southwest, 8 miles an hour. 8:05, we're gonna get your national news in from ABC, then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY radio sports. 6:09, Big Game James McCarty joining us now on Bonnie and Friends with your WDAY radio sports. Good morning to you, James.
Good morning. Eventful weekend as we get back into the swing of things in the sports world. The NBA, well, per ESPN and Shams Charania and company as well, the NBA is releasing their Christmas Day game slate of games, and it will include the Minnesota Timberwolves again. They're going to be in Denver taking on the Nuggets. The other four games, the Cleveland Cavaliers in New York to take on the Knicks. The San Antonio Spurs will be in OKC to square off with the Thunder. Houston Rockets head to L.A. to battle the Lakers. And the Golden State Warriors will host the Dallas Mavericks. Minnesota Twins walking off the Kansas City Royals 5-3 in 11 innings on Sunday afternoon. Rookie second baseman Luke Keyshaw with the walk-off two-run homer. Ryan Fitzgerald, a gentleman who is 31 years old, has over 3,000 minor league at-bats, got his first big league hit, and it was a two-run homer to help the Twins in that victory. Half a dozen pitchers pitched for the Twins, who get the win and are now 5-4 since the fire sale at the trade deadline. They sit at 56-61, currently 5 games out of that third and final wildcard spot with 45 games to go in the regular season. Twins are now off to New York to take on the Yankees beginning Monday night. First pitch at 6:05. Coverage available on MLB Network for that one. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks defeat the Sioux City Explorers 4-2 in their series rubber match yesterday afternoon. Angelo Cabral would go 5 2/3 innings, give up only one run, earning the victory. Michael Hallquist led the offense with a two-run homer in the first inning. Jose Sermo, Nick Northcutt each with RBIs in the win. Fargo Moorhead improves to 47-34, and they will be off tonight before returning to Newman Outdoor Field to take on the Sioux City Explorers, as they'll get another battle with them. Minnesota Vikings defeat the Houston Texans 20-10 in their first preseason game Saturday afternoon. Starting quarterback J.J. McCarthy would have one drive. He would go 4 of 7 passing for 30 yards, picked up 8 yards and 1 carry, and helped the team to a field goal drive. Sam Howell would get most of the snaps as he would go 11 of 13 for 105 yards, would add a rushing touchdown. And Max Brosmer, the former Gopher, 5 of 8 passing in the fourth quarter for 47 yards and a touchdown. 12 players catching at least one pass, led by 3 apiece from Lucky Jackson and Jordan Addison. 3 interceptions from the defense that was led by Mekhi Blackman's 5 tackles. And the Vikings will now host the New England Patriots in their second preseason game Saturday. Kickoff at noon for that one. PGA Tour St. Jude Championship in Memphis, Tennessee. Justin Rose defeating J.J. Spahn in a 3-playoff hole bout after both were 16 under par after regulation. Rose taking home $3.6 million in earnings. Spahn getting $2.1 million. Scotty Scheffler, Tommy Fleetwood tied for third at 15 under par. And Tom Hoagie missing the cut at 6 over par this past weekend. Minnesota Lynx taking down the New York Liberty 83-71 on Sunday afternoon. Keelan McBride leading the offense with 18 points, followed by 15 points and 6 rebounds from Johnny Carrington. Courtney Williams would tally in 14 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds as Minnesota improves to the league best 27-5 on the season. They're off until Saturday afternoon when they battle the Liberty again. That matchup will be at the Target Center, tip-off at 1, coverage available on CBS, and hopeful to have Nafisa Collier back by then, but still waiting on clearance of her with that ankle after suffering an injury. It's been about 9 days now since that injury, and they had projected about 2 weeks. So you'll be, I would imagine, day-to-day up until that point to see if she'll be on the court or not. And tonight, Track Talk, 6:30 to 8 with Jason Berg right here on WDAY Radio. He'll get you up to speed on everything in the local racing scene and beyond.
And I just heard the Redhawks commercial that ran. Shooter McGavin, Kristen McDonald from Happy Gilmore is going to be there on Tuesday, August 26th, presented by Sweet Shots. I've seen really, I don't know if the crowd will get a chance to interact with him, but I've seen really nice things about how he is really great with fans, and he's embraced this whole Shooter McGavin thing. Like, people don't even know him as Christopher McDonald. Shooter McGavin, and he always takes the time to be cordial with people, which is really
growing
nice.
Up, that's really all I knew him from. I don't know off the top of my head any other parts that he's had.
I'm sure there's
different
stuff,
movies. If you were to name them, I would remember, and maybe even television series, things of those sorts. Mm-hmm. But I just yeah, it was all Shooter McGavin growing up. And so when Subway came out with that commercial with the Happy Gilmore cups, and
Shooter likes it hot.
He steals the cups and they all chase him down. It was very nostalgic of my childhood. And I got a kick out of that. So he's turning that part in an hour and a half movie into a full lifetime career, which is pretty dang cool.
Yeah, earlier stuff, before you were born, James. He was in Grease 2. He was in Thelma and Louise.
Grease 2 should just not even be in anybody's memory banks.
Thelma and Louise, that was a good movie, though.
That was good.
The film adaptation, Leave It to Beaver, from 1997. Requiem for a Dream. A Grumpy Old Men, Flubber. He's been in a lot of stuff over the years. But once he got, became Shooter McGavin, that's how people
took the cake.
Yeah. But it's nice to see, because sometimes, you get inundated with fans and it gets annoying, for these celebrities and stuff, and you never know when he's a stalker or something, but it's nice to see that he's very cordial with fans.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He had a cameo in Beverly Hills Cop Axel F, the newest one they did for Netflix.
Oh,
which
okay.
Obviously Happy Gilmore 2 is a Netflix movie, but it's got him listed as golfer in Happy Gilmore.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Yeah, as in Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. So that's kind of a funny cameo he did there.
Did you watch the new Happy Gilmore movie?
I did.
Did
so,
you like it?
For those who didn't like it, I don't know what you were expecting out of a Netflix movie.
I mean,
for those who were impartial by it, you need to get a funny bone.
Yeah.
For those that enjoyed it, I would imagine you understood the different cameos, the different things they threw in there, the guests they had in there, the references to the first one. I thought overall it was a good movie.
My boys enjoyed it. I walked through the room a few times.
It wasn't anything that was, going to knock your socks off, but it was nostalgic to me, and there was a bunch of callbacks from the first one, and that's what I think made it so great to me, is because it was just like this continuous flashback up until they ended up doing the new golf version competition that they had. That was kind of the whole lead up to the climax of the movie. But I enjoyed it overall. And if you didn't like it, you were probably set the bar too high for what ended up being a sequel 30 years later.
Yeah.
Well, I think when you go to Netflix and you, I've already seen the new Beverly Hills Cop movie that they did last year. I haven't seen the new Happy Gilmore, but after seeing Beverly Hills Cop, how they did it, yes, it's very nostalgic. They've got some of maybe some callbacks to previous jokes, etc. So you want it to be entertaining. Is it going to be better than the original? More than likely, absolutely not. But
I don't know of anything I can ever recall in my life that the second was even on the same playing field as the original.
All I'm asking is for an hour and a half or 2 hours on my life to be entertained by something. Maybe
exactly.
It makes
and
me
I
laugh,
thought I did a
know?
Good job.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like some sort of thing that's going to win a bunch of awards, but it's going to be fun and you're going to enjoy watching it. So I think that's all that really matters.
Another movie that captured our hearts back in the late 70s, they have a nationwide search underway for a new star, and it's a furry star, and we'll talk about that coming up next. Smoky day today. Minnesota Pollution Control Agency has issued an air quality alert until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning due to the wildfires in Canada. Looking at airnow.gov, 164. We are at unhealthy levels, and it's been going up throughout the past couple of hours
This kind of smoky weather keeps up. You're going to be able to tell which people work outdoors and which people don't. People who work outdoors are going to sound like they've been smoking six packs a day. Hey, Bonnie, what's going on?
Probably. Or have massive headaches and stuff, too.
Yeah.
I'm golfing today, but I'm still going to golf anyway.
Well, at least golfing is walking and hitting shots rather than having to be out there, breathing heavy, jogging.
Breathing for 5-6 hours or something like that.
But even doing something like that, being out there golfing, you might not have any, performance-related issues or anything like that. But, you could still end up getting done golfing today and, like you said, have a headache or...
I already have a cough, so...
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like when the smoke gets real bad, if I'm outside for a while, then, the back of your throat or whatever, just kind of... Yeah, it's just a little... It's a little... not good.
Yeah. So if you're bothered by the smoke, you likely want to limit your time outdoors or stay inside today. It's going to be warm, a little humid too, 85 for the high temp. Dina will be along, in about 8 minutes or so with a check on your forecast. Another movie that is going to be coming out, I think this one, I don't know how you wouldn't have liked that movie, 1997 Air Bud. With the Golden Retriever. You didn't like that?
I never really watched it. 1997, I was, I moved down to Tucson. And
you weren't in your parenting age yet.
No, I was not.
My kids would have been little when it came out.
Parenting then, and I was, a few years away from, anything else. I was in my fun 20s era. So.
Air Bud is cute, wholesome, mm-hmm. Walt Disney picture.
See, I saw something like when I had a news channel on or something this weekend, I saw them show a scene from Air Bud where the kid throws it to the dog and he boops it with his nose and it goes in the basket. And I didn't really have, I didn't have the volume on or whatever, so I didn't really know what they
were talking
about.
Air Bud was a huge movie when it came out. A high schooler, his dad died, he had to move to a new home, a new state, and then he signed up to be the basketball team manager, finds his pet dog, Bud, a stray golden retriever that he took in, can play the sport well, and then Bud joins the team, and then the rest is history. Well, they're going to be coming out with an Air Bud 2, and they're actually looking for the next star of the show. They're looking for a purebred golden retriever to play the Air Bud dog in Air Bud Returns. You can, if you have a purebred golden retriever, you want to give your dog a shot there. You think that would be fun? The official Air Bud website is taking submissions. All entrants, everybody who enters their dog will be eligible to win prizes, like a trip to the movie premiere in Hollywood, Air Bud jerseys. It looks like summer of 2026. So next summer, Air Bud Returns should be coming out. And this is another one 30 years after the fact. I'm surprised they didn't have a number of these because they did?
Yes, there is. According to IMDb, there was Air Bud 97. 1998 had Air Bud Golden Receiver, so it was a football one. 2000, Air Bud World Pup, which was soccer.
I didn't see any of those other ones.
Air Bud Spikes Back, which would have been volleyball. Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch. And Air Buddies.
Air Buddies might sound familiar, but all those other ones you named off, I did not see.
Well, they were probably straight to video, to be honest.
Maybe.
I think.
It's adorable, though.
Video. So this one, 1998, Air Bud Golden Receiver, might have been in the theaters. They might have tried to replicate it with a different sport, but, it is what it is.
So if you have a purebred golden retriever, you want to have a shot at that, or if you just want to win some prizes, go to the Air Bud website, put some pictures there, fill out the information they're looking for. Dolly Parton is being named a Guinness World Records icon. I think this is a new category that they came up with. It doesn't give more details other than she got a Guinness World Records Golden Certificate. She's put it up at her studio in Nashville. She says she was humbled. She takes a lot of pride in the honor. Currently has 11 world record titles to her name, including most consecutive decades with top 10 album entries on the Billboard Country Chart. I love her. Dolly Parton is one
Everybody
of my
likes
absolute
Dolly.
Favorite. She had, yeah, you're right. Like, how could you not like Dolly
I mean,
Parton?
I think the biggest thing for me that she did, because both my girls were able to get it, was the
Imagination Library.
Library and sending out free books to kids once a month. I mean, if you buy, obviously, the books in bulk, et cetera, probably not going to be super expensive. And then sending them out to kids all over the country, it's going to be expense. But, as someone that's, got a foundation going, that's a great thing. Just to, try and encourage that love of reading. And I know that my youngest, that's like, even looking at her ACT scores, in high school now, she's just phenomenal reader. So it's one of those things where you can start that when your kids are little by just simply getting them some books. And if Dolly Parton can help on that,
And her family was so poor,
absolutely.
They couldn't probably afford books. And I don't know if there was a library close to her growing up. But in addition to the Imagination Library book donations that you can, if you have kids or grandkids, you can always apply for those and they'll send you a book. But she's also made a lot of charitable donations to, people that have been affected by wildfires or hurricanes. She's made a lot of donations over the years, too. And, she's just super sweet. I didn't know I don't know, that this was still going on. National Take Your Sons and Daughters to Work Day.
When was that?
Today.
Oh.
Did you ever take your daughters to work with you?
Mm-hmm.
I did, but not on this day. I did, like, because if I was, my husband was working, for instance, and I had to go to a breaking news story, well, what do I do with my kids? I get them dressed and put them in the back of the news truck and go roll into the scene and stuff. Yeah. So it wasn't intentionally, but they mm-hmm. saw mom in action at work.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, I just did it, like, a couple times with each kid. You know, and it wasn't, try to do it on a day when wasn't super busy or anything, or maybe more likely when the boss was gone.
Yeah. Well, and it depends on the age of the child that you're taking with, and maybe just a couple of hours is better than a whole day.
Because
even like when you first start working your job and you're putting in an 8 or 10 hour day, whatever it is, it's like that's a hard thing to do when you're get your first big person job and you're putting in a long day. So even taking the kids to work with you for an 8 hour day is a long day, unless you have a really exciting job and you keep them super busy.
Yeah, I know. Most of the time when I took the girls to work, I was just sitting at my desk doing stuff. So.
Well, it's hard, too, when you're busy. Anytime you have somebody, like, shadowing you or whatever, when you're busy because you want to, you know, tell them and give them information about what you do and how, but you also have work to do, right?
Yeah.
So.
And so sometimes it's just about letting them do stuff and then at least seeing where you work. So, I mean, for me, it wasn't so much bringing them to work and having them hang out all day because, especially my last job, that's you can't really just bring somebody in because you've got, you know, personal identifier information of individuals. So, I mean, obviously, they're not allowed to see that and whatnot. But, I mean, I've brought them to the office and shown them around, you know, like where I work and in the office space. And, you know, when they were real little, it was easier to kind of do that, you know, once or twice. But, like I said, it depends on your boss and your type of job. So.
I think it used to be National Take Your Daughter to Work Day, but then they expanded it daughter. Because why not, right?
Well, I would hope so. I mean,
it's good for them to see role models. For the girls, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're a dad, but maybe you had female coworkers who were, you know, good role models, and that could be something. Yeah, and the same with boys, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, you know, in my career, my different careers, you know, I've had a lot of female bosses. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, if that's something that is important for you to have your daughter see, that they can obviously be, you know, in upper management or in a supervisory position. I mean, it's good for them to see that. So that way they know that anything's possible.
Mm. So we'll see. Maybe around your workplace, you may see some youngsters around. It's National Take Your Son or Daughter to Work Day. Smoke is going to be sticking with us through today and into tomorrow. An air quality alert, a red alert, has been issued by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Very unhealthy smoke levels already here this morning. It is 6:30 Monday morning. You are hanging out with Bonnie and friends on WDAY Radio. 6:31, smoky morning, and expect that to stick with us today. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is joining us now. You're already late for the day. You missed your first hit.
Yeah.
Now you're in the building.
Don't be dilly-dallying around.
Yeah, I'm busy.
Doing what?
You know, some of us actually work around here.
You were late for work, and now you're busy trying to catch up.
I wasn't late for work.
Okay.
I couldn't see how to get here with all the smoke.
Okay.
It is clear outside.
Allegedly.
But. Yeah. It looks white. It's like just a filthy, milky white.
Through about 3:30, the air conditions were good. And then all of a sudden, started ramping up. It's at 173 now, unhealthy.
It's a lot of smoke pouring into the area. It's going to be a clear day, but.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Canada.
Yeah.
Didn't we annex them yet? Trump said we were going to – let's go politics here.
Let's go
politics and weather. Let's make this show fun.
You just do the weather.
Yeah.
Okay. if Trump gets his way, we're going to get this fire stuff.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Really?
Yeah.
Jace, all right. Do you want to – I mean
– could you just do the weather and we can move on? Thank you.
Hazy, smoky sunshine today. Thanks, Canada. President Trump, please get this fixed. Work with Canada.
It's not our problem. It's their problem.
Is it going to be humid today, too?
Not too bad.
No, okay.
No, not too bad on the humidity factor, but It is going to be smoky out there. We've got a storm system that's rolling through Canada. That's going to drag a cold front down here as we head towards the evening hours. But most of the daytime hours should be on the dry side. A little smoky, hazy sunshine. We'll see highs in the low to mid-80s with winds out of the southwest, 10 to 25. As we get towards evening, we'll see scattered storms on that cold front. Nothing widespread or severe, so we don't have to worry about that. And then tonight we'll drop down to about 60, and tomorrow we'll be in the 70s with a little more sunshine tomorrow. And we're still going to deal with the smoke tomorrow even. And then Wednesday and Thursday, we start to warm things up. Scattered storms with highs rebounding back into the 80s. Kind of an up and down week. 70s and 80s up and down. No big heat, no big cool down.
How come if the winds are out of the south today, it's so smoky? Because I thought when they came out of the north is when it drags down the...
Well, because our upper-level winds are coming in kind of from the northwest. But since we have a little storm system coming in from Canada, briefly turning our winds out of the southwest.
I see.
And then back into the northwest.
It wasn't making sense to me this morning. I'm like, well, why is it smoky?
Bonnie, I am always here to make sense out of what doesn't make sense to you.
You just don't show up on time. So when I have questions in my little head. Yesterday turned out, and I questioned my decisions as to why I hang out with Dean. Golfed yesterday.
My dad always had a... No, I won't even say it on air. Well,
yesterday was a really pleasant day, but we were expecting smoke, but it wasn't smoky yesterday. So
yesterday
today's smoky
nice.
And warmer then.
Smoky and then, yes.
Yeah. Okay, great.
I sorry to break the bad news to you.
We'll be fine.
Hey, can you do better on the golf course today when we go?
I'll try.
Your putting was on fire yesterday, though. Your short game was good.
I'll try.
No, we need you on the tee box today.
I know you
today.
Guys need my drives.
We need your drives today.
I just had a few chunks when I was driving. Most of my drives were pretty good yesterday. You weren't even with me. You were on the other cart. You were like lost in space. Okay, go away.
I got another piece of steak caught in my throat.
Yeah, whatever. Go find something to do, troublemaker. 6:35. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and big game James McCarty. As your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:41, coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this song. It was a big hit in 1956. It set a record that wouldn't be broken until 1992. Find out what song it is and which artist coming up. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. Time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
The NBA announcing its Christmas Day slate per Sham Sharania of ESPN and company because, well, football's 2 weeks away, so why not get ready for Christmas, right, guys? Timberwolves a part of that Christmas Day slate as well. They'll be in Denver taking on the Nuggets. We'll see if my parents go without inviting me again. We'll see.
You'll be home for Christmas, so maybe.
Well, no, exactly. They'll probably just leave me with the rest of the family and say, good luck, Jimmy. There's a ham in the fridge. Get it finished off before dinner time. The other four games are going to be the Knicks hosting the Cavaliers, the Thunder host the Spurs, Lakers hosting the Rockets, and Warriors hosting the Mavericks. The time's to be determined on all five of those on that Christmas Day slate. On the diamond yesterday afternoon, the Minnesota Twins walking off the Kansas City Royals 5-3 in 11 innings on a rookie second baseman, Luke Kuechel, two-run homer. Twins win that series rubber match, and now they're off to New York to take on the Yankees with first pitch tonight at 6:05, coverage on MLB Network. The Twins are now 5-4 since the fire sale that was 10 days ago. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks were on the road in Sioux City. They defeat the Explorers 4-2 in their series rubber match on Sunday evening. Michael Hallquist leading the offense with a two-run homer. Jose Sermo, Nick Northcutt each with RBI in the victory as well. Redhawks off today before returning to Newman Outdoor Field on Tuesday to battle the Sioux City Explorers, just this time up in North Fargo. Minnesota Vikings taking down the Houston Texans 20-10 in their first preseason game on Saturday afternoon. J.J. McCarthy, 4 of 7, passing for 30 yards while also picking up 8 yards on the ground in his only drive that resulted in a field goal for the Vikes. Sam Howell gets the majority of the snaps, throwing for 105 yards and having a rushing touchdown. And Max Brosmer, 47 yards and 5 of 8 passing along with a passing touchdown in that victory. Vikings have 3 interceptions defensively, and they will now host the New England Patriots in preseason game number 2 Saturday at noon. PGA Tour, St. Jude Championship in Memphis, Tennessee. Justin Rose defeated J.J. Spahn over a course of 3 playoff holes after both were tied at 1,600 par after regulation. Here's the difference between birdie in a hole and parring it in a playoff. Rose took home $3.6 million, and Spahn's check went down to $2.1 million, all because he lost in 3 playoff holes. That's still a great payday, but that's tough to cut your earnings by about 40%.
Yeah,
just because you parred a hole instead of birdieing it. But you know what? That's the nature of golf. Tom Hoagie missed the cut. He shot 6 over par prior to the weekend. Minnesota Lynx on Sunday afternoon, taking down the New York Liberty, 83-71. This is the first of 3 straight games between these two franchises. Caleb McBride had 18 points, followed by 15 points and 6 rebounds off the bench from DeJounte Carrington. Courtney Williams would chip in 14 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds from the point guard position. Minnesota improving to a league best 27-5, and they're off until Saturday when they now host the Liberty. That'll be a 1 p.m. tip-off with coverage available on CBS. And as we round out sports this hour tonight, Track Talk with Jason Berg. He'll get you up to speed on everything in the local racing scene and beyond. At Pebble Lake Golf Club, you play amongst mature trees, rolling hills, and unique bunkers with a little water along the way. Book your tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
How about Cam Little of the Jaguars and his 70-yard field goal?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was insane. I'm sure that there's no coincidence, but he had a random drug test on Sunday morning.
Are you serious?
I have no idea.
Oh. It would have went into the Guinness World Record books, but it couldn't.
It would have been the longest in NFL, because, what was it, 67 in Denver?
66 yards.
66.
Justin Tucker of the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, yeah, Tucker had it, because...
didn't he also do that? Didn't Tucker do it in Detroit? Because it bounced off.
That was against
yeah.
the Lions in 2020.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't remember if was it Matt Prather from the Lions, if he had a 64 or 65 as well.
There's been a couple.
Yeah, Brandon Aubrey had a 65-yard.
Yep, for the Cowboys.
Yep, and then Prather had a 64-yard.
Yeah, okay.
I think there was a, I want to say there was a 60-plus yarder for a win in the United Football League, not this season, but the season before in 2024, because that guy ended up becoming the kicker for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, Panthers and maybe that's where I'd gotten that from, too.
But I'm
trying to think for the
Vikings. I wonder if this Cam Little
did
like an asterisk at least.
I don't know. That's,
you would wish.
That's
you
what
would
I,
hope, but I don't think so.
I think my daughter brought it up to me yesterday. I'm like, well, unfortunately, it's not going to count because it was a preseason game.
Right.
But yet at the same time, it was an organized game. It happened. It was at the professional level in the preseason. We've seen it now. I mean, I think that should be the all-time record. It won't be the NFL all-time record because it was a preseason game, but 70 yards is 70 yards. I mean, that is ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, just bananas, man.
And pretty soon you won't even have to have punt anymore in the NFL. You just kick field goals from
80
yards.
I don't know about
up.
That. I don't know about that. That's a. I've seen plenty of guys come up short on 50-yarders without without winning against them.
50-yarders are impressive. You're kind of like, oh, if it's your kicker trying to make it.
50-yarders have it used to be kind of almost infrequent, and now you see anywhere from 50 to 56, 57 as kind of being reoccurring. And now all of a sudden you get these certain kickers that in certain situations, whether it's the end of a game, end of a half, trot them out there, 60, 65, at least give them a shot.
So. Yeah, I mean, at the professional level, once you get beyond 40, it is much tougher than you would think.
Right.
I mean, just think if you have a local high school or college field, I mean, line up that ball at the 10-yard line. That's a 20-yard field goal, right? You know, if you're kicking it from the 10, and that's an extra point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you put it in that perspective, then you throw it on a hash mark outside of that and trying to get the angle on it.
You throw in a breeze. I mean,
you throw in a couple of 300-pounders trying to tackle you. I mean, it becomes difficult in a hurry.
Or just 6'4", 6'5" guys just jumping up, putting their hands straight up, trying to block it.
Hunter Ponchus.
Yeah.
Well, Cam Little just needs to do it again during a regular season.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, effortless for him.
Wow. All right, it was on this date in entertainment history. This song was released. It became a number one hit. It commemorates Studio 54 in New York. Find out what song it is. Flatland Music Flashback coming your way right around 6:56. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. At 6:48, we're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 2002. This star started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart. The title track only peaked at number 52, though. We'll find out who that singer was and what that album was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
Time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
1956, Elvis Presley's double-sided hit Don't Be Cruel and Hound Dog was released. The single went to number one, where it stayed for 11 weeks.
And it set a record that would not be broken until 1992's Boys to Men hit End of the Road.
1962, Neil Sedaka started a two-week run at number one with Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. Sedaka was a founding member of The Tokens.
He has written or co-written more than 500 songs for himself and others. He's had 30 top 40 hits, including 3 number ones and 9 top tens.
1978, CS Cheek, the second studio album by Cheek.
Chic,
was released. It featured the single La Freak, which became a number one hit.
The song is preserved in the Library of Congress's National Recording Registry for being culturally, historically, or artistically significant. I did not know this. The song commemorates Studio 54 in New York, which was known for exclusive clientele made up of celebrities and socialites, as well as Rude Doorman. There's a great Netflix documentary on that.
I didn't know
too.
About the Rude Doorman. I heard about Studio 54 before. 1984, Ray Parker Jr. started a three-week run at number one with the theme from Ghostbusters, which a lot of kids, even still this day that were kids in the 80s, when someone says, who are you going to call? We always say Ghostbusters. Yep. Parker, who was a session guitarist for Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye, was accused of plagiarizing the melody from Huey Lewis and the News' song, I Want a New Drug.
Lewis sued Parker, and an out-of-court settlement was reached.
In 2002, Bruce Springsteen started a two-week run at number one on the U.S. album chart with The Rising. The title track peaked at just number 52.
The boss is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Songwriters Hall of Fame. He's also received Kennedy Center honors and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I like this tune.
Very 1980s. Oh, I thought I was going to say they were stepping out tonight, but I guess not. Having a birthday today, English singer and songwriter Joe Jackson, not related to those Jacksons, is 71. Stepping Out hit number 6 on the Billboard charts in 1982. 6 of his songs have made the Billboard Hot 100 charts.
If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. It's 7 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 7:02, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
How do you like the sunrise? Well, it's beyond sunrise.
It was pretty.
It's pretty.
I mean, we noticed it right away. It's like, it's pretty, but that's the smoke helps make it prettier.
It's
but
thick.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be like that through the rest of the day. Now, if you're going to have outdoor plans today, you'll be able to get them in. We will see a cold front swinging through here. As we head towards the evening, that'll trigger off a few isolated storms. Non-severe expected, so that's good. But overall, not a bad day outside of the smoke. About 84 for a high, with a southwest winds a bit breezy, about 10 to 25. Those storms end tonight and will drop down to a low of 60. And then Tuesday, Wednesday look pretty decent. Upper 70s to right around 80. And then we heat things up a little bit as we head into Thursday, with highs in the mid to upper 80s, and then another round of storms Wednesday night and Thursday night. No big organized areas of precip this week. I think we've seen enough across much of the area. And temperatures pretty much close to where they should be for this time of the year.
All right. Weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, but it is Monday, so that means it's time for the Tailgaters 2-degree guarantee. Every Monday, Dean's going to give us the expected temperature for today, and if he's within 2 degrees, you can celebrate at Tailgaters on Tuesday with a $2 tap for your first domestic pint. After that, they're just $4 a piece, but if he's wrong, then you can celebrate Dean's mistake with a $3 Long Island iced tea.
Mistake? That sounds just harsh, man.
I didn't use,
can you rewrite that script?
I didn't use failure this time.
You didn't.
I know.
Thank you.
And Long Island teas will be $4 each the rest of the way. So, Dean, what is your predicted high for today?
150.
Wrong.
Well,
I see what he's doing.
Yeah.
Somebody wants, you know, Long Island's. That's
exactly.
No. 84. 84 for today.
84 for today. So listen tomorrow morning and see if Dean gets it right. Because if he's right, then you're going to be able to get those cheaper domestic taps. And if not, then you get those Long Island iced teas. So
you sure you don't want to go with 150?
I'm pretty sure. I'm just doing what I'm told.
All right. Okay.
And make sure you get down to Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo, where they have live music out on the patios during the summertime on Thursday nights.
7:04, we are going to be getting your national news in from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 7:09, just coming off a weekend, and weekends are made to enjoy time with your family and friends, and a great time to give thanks and salute to those who make it all possible, our military and first responders out there for us every single day. And when you enjoy your time with friends and family, here's a beer you might not have tried before. The finest of Italian beers, Peroni, is a name well known for delicious beer.
And Peroni Nastro Azzurro has been brewed with superior ingredients since 1963. Giving it a uniquely uplifting taste as a pale, golden crisp and refreshing beer with a delicate balance of bitterness, citrus, and aromatic notes, and a great clean finish. Some would call it a modern Italian masterpiece, Bonnie.
Yeah.
And you simply need to taste it for yourself. Peroni Nastro Azzurro, now available in your favorite local liquor stores. And remember, salute and give thanks to those who serve us every single day, our military and those first responders. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
And I had a few bottles in my house, and it was enjoyed by the adults who were able to savor it.
Ah.
7:10, Big Game James McCarty here now with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Vikings began their preseason slate on Saturday afternoon with a 20-10 victory at home against the Houston Texans. J.J. McCarthy, their starting quarterback, completed 4 of 7 passes for 30 yards while also having an 8-yard run on the ground. In his only drive of the game, it resulted in a field goal. Sam Howell completed 11 of 13 passes for 105 yards and had a rushing touchdown. And Max Brosmer would complete 5 of 8 passes for 47 yards along with a touchdown through the air. The Vikings would have 3 interceptions in the victory and be led defensively by Mekhi Blackman's 5 tackles. Vikings host the New England Patriots in their second preseason game on Saturday with kickoff set for noon. PGA Tour St. Jude Championship in Memphis, Tennessee. Justin Rose defeating J.J. Spahn in over a course of 3 playoff holes after they were both tied at 16 under par through regulation. Rose taking home $3.6 million. Spahn getting $2.1 million. Scottie Scheffler and Tommy Fleetwood tied for 3rd at 15 under par. And Tom Hoagie missing the cut after shooting 6 over par. Minnesota Lynx on Sunday afternoon defeated the New York Liberty 83-71. Caleb McBride led the offense with 18 points. They improved to a league best 27-5 on the year. They're off until Saturday when they host that Liberty squad at 1 p.m. Coverage available on CBS. The Minnesota Twins took down in the series rubber match in walk-off fashion in an 11 innings total. The Kansas City Royals 5-3. It was rookie second baseman Luke Kuechel with the walk-off 2-run homer. Ryan Fitzgerald, who has spent over 900 games in the minor leagues, over 3,000 at-bats in his career, 31 years old, got his first big league hit. It was a 2-run homer in the middle of that game. The Twins now are 5-4 since the trade deadline, are 56-61, sit 5 games back of the 3rd and final wild card spot with 45 games remaining in the regular season. They're now off to the Bronx to take on the Yankees. First pitch tonight at 6:05, coverage available on MLB Network. And the Red Hawks defeated the Sioux City Explorers on the road 4-2 to take their series rubber match on Sunday. A 2-run homer from Michael Hallquist in the first inning was the difference in that game. Red Hawks improving to 47-34. They return home to Newman Outdoor Field on Tuesday night when they host that same Sioux City Explorers squad. And as we round out sports here this hour, per Shams Charania and ESPN, the NBA announcing its 5-game slate on Christmas Day. It will feature the New York Knicks hosting the Cleveland Cavaliers, Oklahoma City Thunder hosting the San Antonio Spurs, the LA Lakers hosting the Houston Rockets, the Golden State Warriors hosting the Dallas Mavericks, and your Minnesota Timberwolves heading to Denver to take on Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets.
Did you see times on those games yet? Like what?
No,
time
there are not times released, but it should be 11 a.m., 2:30, 5, 7:30, and then like a 9 or a 10
Our
o'clock.
Our luck, it'll be like the late game.
No, it won't be the
it
late
won't be
game.
The late one?
No, because you have both the Lakers and the Warriors hosting games. Mm-hmm. One of them will be the super. We should. I would imagine that will be probably the 2:30-ish game.
That would be nice.
Either 2:30 or 5.
Okay.
That would be my guess, just based off of those times, because I would imagine that the L.A. and Rockets or Golden State and Dallas will be the late game because, 10 o'clock for us, 8 o'clock for them. I don't know if they would do an early evening, like a 5 o'clock or so, or if they would do like a noon there. So either way, I think the Wolves would fall into either the 2:30 or the 5 o'clock slot.
Right. Stay tuned.
Depending on
when you learn, we'll find out.
Yeah, right? we'll know. That's still a couple of weeks away. When the full schedule is released with dates and times, we'll know that better. But that's still a couple of weeks away. I mean, what is it? The 11th of August today. Mm-hmm. We've got time
all day. Even
yeah, isn't that crazy? All the way until tomorrow. I couldn't believe it when I woke up this morning.
How has Twins attendance been since they basically gutted a lot of players?
Well, I mean, it's
has it been down?
It has been down. I mean,
but then again, even
because the ticket prices haven't followed quite yet because it's only been a week.
And the other thing too would be is that attendance might be down when the price of the ticket is high as high as it is, and they were not playing well. I mean,
so it was
attendance
down
is going
to
dip.
Begin with
and they were on the road to start things off too. They only had three games at home against Kansas City here this past weekend, so they're back on the road in the Bronx for three, and I forget how long if this is three or six games the road trip, but. Well, I mean, they're competing still at this point, so if tickets drop a few bucks, I would imagine people still go, especially before the kids go back
to
school.
I would think more so than ticket prices a lot of times because people want to see their favorite teams play. I mean, your folks, you know, season ticket holders for the Timberwolves, et cetera. Yeah. But when your team struggles, attendance is going to be down regardless. And so I think if you put a winning product out there, and obviously with these younger guys getting an opportunity – they're 5-4, as James has told us. But, I mean, if they can keep it up and continue to build on that, you know, the fans will follow. And that's the thing with sports fans. If you build a winning team, they're going to show up. So it's tough when they're not
run
as
some
good
promotions, buy one, get one free ticket or something like that if you want to put
people. It's about getting people
too.
in the door and then getting them to come back. I mean, that's the thing I've learned in sports marketing. It's one thing to get people in for a special event, but to get them to come back when it's not a special event, that's the trick.
And you've got your different promotion nights. Mm-hmm. Like I know when I went to the game, it's been a couple of weeks now. It's been 2-3 weeks. I didn't know it until we got there, but I had one of my younger brothers with me, and they were giving away back to school backpacks for kids.
Oh, nice!
It was a little bit early, you know. It was like the last full week of July, but you know, so they were giving those away. I know that they've had
back to school night. Kids are like, oh man,
no, but they're
it was
excited.
Cool, yeah, branded backpack. I know that they have like the Byron Buxton bobblehead night. Yeah. Joe Ryan, he's from the San Francisco area, so he grew up and he was a big just bicycle rider.
Uh-huh.
That's just was his means of transportation as a kid and as a young adult. So the bobblehead they had of Joe Ryan, it was like end of April, early May. It was literally Joe Ryan in a Twins uniform riding a bicycle.
Oh, that's cool.
And like those sold out almost immediately, of course. So they're doing fun things like that. Yeah. It's the ownership's a bunch of schmucks.
There you go. You slipped.
I don't know how to. Yeah. Whoops. Did that happen?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you know me. Whoops. Whoopsies.
I know you like to read. Maybe you need to take your reading to other places. If you're a man who reads, chances are women find you attractive, Jimmy.
So I should be at the Barnes & Noble coffee shop?
Yep.
Yeah, don't be in the studio
like
here
in
just
your
reading the chapter.
Over there. I mean,
well, what am I supposed
to?
I've
chapter
got 15
reading
minutes
before
between
I go back
shows.
To work.
You might catch my eye, but you know.
Hey, now. Well.
Yeah, the little nook over at Barnes & Noble would be good, or the mall. A survey conducted by Date Psychology found that 98% of women rated reading as attractive.
Well, people that can't read, that's usually pretty unattractive.
Well, that's true, too.
It's just a Southern thing, isn't it?
Hey, you've got a couple things going for you too. Rounding out the top five hottest things in addition to reading, cooking.
Yeah,
Jimmy, can you speak a foreign language?
Niet.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I'm still working on the first one.
Can you play an instrument? Did you like play tuba or anything in
high
school?
In high school,
you look like
I played
a tuba
trumpet.
Kind of guy. Oh, trumpet!
I played trumpet through the midway point of high school.
Maybe you ought to dust up that trumpet, dust it off, and take the trumpet
chicks
and your book to the mall.
Chicks dig the Dizzy Gillespie look.
Yeah. Hey.
Woodworking? Do you know how to whittle? Nobody's going to learn.
Who whittles anymore, Bonnie?
I don't know. They say woodworking.
Woodworking has got to be more of carpentry
these days. We had a shop course
in
high school that, I mean, we did little bits of that.
You are a total package, except you need to go on, what's it, Babbel, or what's the...
Babbel?
Is it
Duolingo? What is the one where you can learn the languages?
Oh, yeah,
Duolingo,
yeah.
You need to get on Duolingo.
I can babble for a while.
Yeah, he usually does.
Okay, so... All right, so I can somewhat. I do have some chicken breasts I got to throw on the grill tonight after work.
There you
so
go.
We got that going for
get
us.
A piece of wood and whittle.
Yeah. Okay. So When I finished the chapter of my book while grilling, I have to start whittling.
Don't whittle.
I got to figure out how to.
No, don't whittle. Put like a table together or something. What? Show people, you know, buy something at IKEA.
Hey, the desk I have in the house.
There you go.
The one that I have. It's like actually my bedroom desk. Yeah. I built that with a buddy.
See?
During COVID, we were trying to fill the time, and literally built a desk.
Nobody wants somebody to see somebody whittle anymore. Build something from scratch. Build a desk or a shelf or something from scratch.
At least carve some notches out of it. Cornhole
boards.
Yeah, my dad made those by himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I already think you're a total package, but you need to be seen. Okay. Get up and be seen.
I'm going to do it more in public. All right.
There you go. 719, Bonnie and Friends, WDA. AY Radio, a smile is more than just your teeth. It is confidence, your joy, your story. At Dakota Implant and Sedation Center, Dr. Matt Eaton and his compassionate team help you reclaim your smile with same-day smile transformations that are truly life-changing.
They know how hard it's been, so they make it easier with sedation, kindness, and payment options that work for you. Call the caring team at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo or visit DakotaImplant.com. In no time, you'll be smiling like you mean it. Visit DakotaDentalImplant.com today and start your journey towards smiling like you mean it.
All right, WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel is going to be joining us. West Nile virus cases are up, something near and dear to her heart. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, applications are being taken for a trade mission to Mexico. All the details straight ahead with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel.
7:21, we head out to the farm and talk with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. How are you doing this morning, Bridget?
Fantastic. Okay, we've probably heard the story over the weekend that the West Nile virus cases are up in the state. We are hearing more hospitalizations, more counties. There's about 9 counties that now have had West Nile found in their mosquito traps. And we have heard that the number of cases is doubling rather quickly. Now, so far, those cases have not been extreme for those as humans who have contracted West Nile virus. But I don't want anyone to think it's just that easy. And this is where I get on my soapbox. You don't have a lot of them. You'd think I'd be a lot taller for the soapbox.
And you have a reason to get on your soapbox on this one.
I do. So back in 2012, in the fall of 2012, right at this time during wheat harvest, we were fairly dry. And when we have this drier time frame, our mosquito population has a higher tendency to carry the West Nile virus. My dad was bitten during wheat harvest. He spent the next 6 months in and out of ICU and never came home in that 6 month time frame. He was certainly someone whose health could have been better. He was a diabetic. But because of what West Nile does as a virus, and think that through, viruses always open up to so many other symptoms and problems. We're talking about kidney failure, needing a pacemaker, losing the ability to swallow, and cognitive loss, as well as it really destroyed the sheath that covers his nerve endings. And there was forever a lot of pain in his hands and legs and in the extremities because those sheaths were trying to regrow over the nerve endings. I will tell you that as adults, it is still, and you don't have to be an elderly adult. My dad died at 58. Mm-hmm. And you need to think about that every time you go out, you, yourself, your kids. I have an aerial applicator over in Minnesota who was affected as a child. He was hospitalized for multiple months as well. It affects each person differently, just as viruses do. But we cannot ignore the fact that West Nile virus is out there, and let's take those precautions, whether it's in the yard, managing the water in these wet times that we're having, cycling with the dry, but then also what we can do for our own personal safety when we're outside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Besides all of those things that are going on, and by the way, if you have questions about any of that, you are certainly welcome to drop me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. We are also seeing that applications are being taken for a trade mission to Mexico. That'll be happening the beginning of November. U.S. exporters are interested in exploring trade with Mexico. They were the largest export market for U.S. ag products in 2024, more than $30 billion in sales, and that supports approximately 190,000 U.S. jobs. Ag trade between the states, Mexico, under the U.S.-Mexico agreement, has reached about $70 billion in 2024. So we continue to see great growth over the last decade with that program or that agreement, but we want to continue to see other areas. Certainly, we've talked about our corn exports with them before. Also, dairy, seafood, tree nuts, pet food, baking and food processing ingredients. And because we talk about the good, we also have to talk a little bit about the bad. And that is Mexico continues to have concerns about the new world screwworm. And so those discussions will be had as well. So for those who are interested in going on those trade missions, farmers, agribusinesses, and there'll be more throughout the winter months, not only state level with North Dakota, but federally with USDA. Think about applying for those. We know that our commodity groups go, but if you as a farmer are looking for a way to find an export market for your product, why not take a trade mission? Give it a try.
Are those, do they have to pay for them? Is it expensive, Bridget, or is that paid for by the state?
I can't tell you if it's expensive or not because I've never applied or been on one. I encourage people because of the experiences others have had who've shared with me and said, hey, this was really worth my time. And it can depend if you are part of a commodity group or how that may happen. Now, usually if the applications are being extended, there will be a coverage for costs that are involved. But by all means, make sure that, you know, especially if you have specialty things as they might be considered, like dry edible beans and so forth. We have to continue to look for ways to expand those markets. Why not be a part of those discussions? Share what you can do with your farm and what your neighbors and others in your group are doing as well.
Hmm.
Worthwhile.
Yeah. I mean, those aren't by chance held at all-inclusive resorts, are they? Asking for a friend.
I think they're typically held on farms where you might want to wear your shoe covers and your bug spray as well.
Okay. Yeah. I'll keep that in mind. I'll let my friend know.
They're not always the places with the free margaritas, but thanks. Well,
it was worth a shot.
Right. I think there's a lot more boardrooms and farm walking than anything. So one of the things that we've talked about as of late has been beef prices, and we know that they are going to stay up for a while. And it's not just the fact that biology is against us, right? It takes a little while to make a calf, you know, like 9 months. But besides that, the drought that we've had the last few years has really impacted what's going to happen with our herd numbers. So areas where we typically raise the most cattle, and that's an area from Saskatchewan and Manitoba all the way to Texas, is generally more prone to drought. And because of that, some of our ranchers are a little concerned. Well, it looks good right now. I've had good rainfall. But how long will that last? And so they're managing their herd numbers to best fit what's happening in their pastures, which means we're not seeing a fast increase in herd numbers across the U.S. Will we see a change in that? Well, we're going to have to watch. But at this point, a lot of farmers are just trying to be cautiously optimistic when it comes to their cattle. But we know as consumers, we are anticipating continuing to see high beef prices through 2026. So get that connection for your beef. I think the thing to always remember is when folks want to buy right off the farm, they say, well, I thought it was going to be cheaper. Well, remember this. One, there's still a lot of money tied up in that animal to process it and get it to you. But also think about quality. You are certainly going to pay a little bit more for better quality.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hopefully others too.
Yep.
So there's a lot of discussion about America's public lands. Will they be sold? What could happen with the money? Why are we potentially selling land? I know that it's part of the discussion is housing and areas like Colorado, where they see more than their fair share of land owned by the federal government. They're worried that it would just be sold off to high dollar developers and would continue to not help out folks who are more in need of affordable housing. But it affects us in the ag industry as well, because if some of those public lands that we use for grazing are sold off, that's going to affect our herd numbers too. We may not have an additional space to put our beef or our sheep when it comes time to look for a way to expand our herd numbers. So consider that also can be a problem for us. So just a few of the headlines that are going on out there. I appreciate the time today, and don't forget to tune in from 1 to 2 o'clock. Weather and Ag in Focus. I have the opportunity today to visit with Ward Cater, Vision Ford, and also Ray Grabansky with Progressive Ag. And we'll talk more about all sorts of things that are affecting our markets, especially as we go towards harvest. We'll keep you posted on what things look like as we get closer. So have a great day.
Yeah, Bridget likes to do homework too. So if our listeners have any questions, want you to do any research for them, make any connections here, Bridget, best way to get a hold of you.
You can always send me emails, ag@flagfamily.com. Com.
Very good. Thank you, Bridget.
See you soon.
You bet. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Monday morning, it is smoky. It will be smoky all day long. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki in with your forecast coming up in just a bit. 7:31, time for a check on our smoky forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Yeah, we have smoke, we have winter storm warnings, and we have severe thunderstorm warnings all in the forecast today.
Who's got winter storms? The mountains?
It's up in northern Canada.
Northern Canada.
Way
really?
No.
The North Pole.
Yeah. Just getting you guys prepared for what's coming.
Mm. Okay. Are we going to have a active winter this
a
year?
A wintry winter?
Yeah.
I would bet my mortgage. I'll bet your mortgage.
Oh. That
this winter will be more active than the last two.
Yeah, I don't think
last two winters have been lame.
They've been very mild.
Yeah. They've been lame.
Just like the last two summers prior to this one have been quiet.
They have. Yeah. This summer's been pretty active, so.
Oh, well, we were talking earlier, Dean, not to get you before the forecast, but we were talking, remember a couple of weeks ago you had said we were trying to figure out if we were above average when it came to precipitation.
And we are
now.
You said
we were right at average.
So now
we are above average?
Until this month, yeah. We've picked up close to 4 inches of rain already this month. I mean, we just started. So
yeah.
We're above average now. Yeah.
We were out golfing yesterday. One of the sand bunkers that Greg, one of our teammates, hit into.
He was in there all day.
Was a water hazard?
There was. He didn't even go get his ball out of that one. There was like a foot and a half of water in the bunker.
There was a rake in the middle of the bunker covered in water.
Yeah.
So
that was a weird scene.
Well, Bonnie and I,
is that a water hazard?
It has to be now.
If it's a water hazard, you can't play out of it. So if you hit your ball in the bunker that's covered in water, how do you do?
You got to drop a new ball and count an extra stroke.
No. I think you got to play it out of it.
Well, we should have made Greg go right? That would have been funny.
There you go.
But there is there's not a lot of rain in the forecast for this week. But when it does come later this week, some of it could be on the strong to severe side. We'll touch on that in just a bit. But if you look outside, you look to the east, and man, just a milky white. That's Canadian smoke, and that's going to continue to kind of filter through the area today. So we'll call it hazy sunshine. We'll see a cold front swing through the area as we head towards evening, about 6 o'clock or so. And that could trigger off a few storms, isolated, nothing widespread, but they could be on the strong side. Nothing severe expected. Highs today about 84 with winds out of the southwest 10 to 25. Those storms end tonight down to 60, and tomorrow should be a quiet day, upper 70s, and then a quiet day on Wednesday, right around 80. A few storms Wednesday night, and then we get a quick push of some heat on Thursday, mid to upper 80s, and then storms come in Thursday night. Some of those could be on the strong to severe side. If you're looking ahead towards the weekend, as we all usually are at the start of the week.
Already? On a Monday?
Of course. The weekend looks halfway decent. Highs in the right around 80, 82 degree range. Yeah. So not a bad looking weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That'll be awesome.
Well, not cool, but
well, no, but it'll
decent.
Be.
Not as cool as you.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'm only as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Yeah. There you go. Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more.
Disabled American Veterans Chapter 1 is hosting a picnic tonight. The event is for all members and their families, and all non-members and their families as well. It's going to be at Oak Grove Park. From 5 to 8 today, everything's going to be provided, but bring yourself a side dish. Everything else will be provided. So you're invited to that Disabled American Veterans Chapter 1 picnic. Again, Oak Grove Park in Fargo, 5 to 8 p.m. today. 7:35 right now, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports, and Dino's back with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:38. Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Twins walking off the Kansas City Royals on a 11th inning two-run homer from rookie second baseman Luke Kuechel. 5-3, Twins get the victory, taking the series rubber match from the Royals. Now 5-4 since the trade deadline, 56-61 in the year, currently 5 games out of the final wildcard spot with 45 games remaining in the regular season. Twins off to the Bronx, take on the Yankees. First pitch tonight at 6:05. Coverage available on MLB Network. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks wrap up their road trip with a 4-2 victory in a series rubber match on Sunday afternoon in Sioux City against the Explorers. Three different players driving in runs, led by Michael Hallquist's two-run homer. That was the difference in that matchup. Redhawks off tonight before returning to Newman Outdoor Field Tuesday night when they battle the Sioux City Explorers again. Minnesota Vikings opened up preseason play at U.S. Bank Stadium on Saturday, taking on the Houston Texans and getting a 20-10 victory. Starting quarterback J.J. McCarthy, along with four of his five starting offensive linemen, he would complete 4 of 7 passes for 30 yards, picked up an 8-yard carry as well. They got a field goal on that drive. Sam Howell, the majority of the snaps, 11 of 13 for 105 yards and a rushing touchdown. Max Brosmer completed 5 of 8 passes for 47 yards and 1 touchdown. 12 different players catching at least one pass in the victory, and the Vikings defensively had 3 interceptions. Their tackling was led by Mekhi Blackman's 5 tackles in that game. Vikings will host the New England Patriots on Saturday beginning at noon. Minnesota Lynx taking down the New York Liberty 83-71 on Sunday afternoon. Kayla McBride leading the offense with 18 points, followed up by 15 points and 6 rebounds off the bench from DeJohnny Carrington. And the Lynx now at 27-5 on the year, best record in the league. They will host the New York Liberty on Saturday afternoon at the Target Center. Tip off at 1, coverage available on CBS. And as we're rounding out sports here this hour, Sham Sharani on ESPN reporting that their Christmas Day slate for the NBA has been finalized pending times of tip-offs. You'll have the Knicks hosting the Cavs, Thunder host the Spurs, Lakers host the Rockets, Warriors host the Mavs, and in Denver, the Nuggets and Nikola Jokic will be hosting Anthony Edwards and your Minnesota Timberwolves. 6:30 tonight, Track Talk, Jason Berg. He'll get you up to speed on everything in the local racing scene and beyond.
All right, Big Game James McCarty with your WDAY Radio Sports. It is 7:41. I know your girls are older, but maybe they're still into it. Have you heard of, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, the Labubu toy, L-A-B-U-B-U?
Labubu, yeah.
Is that how you pronounce it? Okay, I wasn't sure about that. Do they have any of these?
No.
Okay. There's counterfeit ones. The Better Business Bureau has even issued a warning, like, be careful if you're buying these to make sure you're not getting counterfeit ones called LaFufus. It's not a legit thing. It's called a Labubu. But they're so wanted that they've been stealing them. There was a big heist in California last week. Dozens of boxes of the Labubu viral dolls were taken from a store in La Puente. The owner says the thieves got away with about $7,000 worth of merchandise.
This sounds like the whole Beanie Baby.
Kind of. Were they being stolen? I don't remember. Do you remember? Were they being stolen back in the day, too? There probably were some that were stolen.
Maybe.
I
know is that there was something, a little, you know, little doll type of thing that became hugely, hugely popular. And I'm not a doll person. I'm not a toy collector.
I've seen, like, on keychains and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
There's been some professional athletes that have had the Labubu thing, and they've kind of put it on a keychain or at least something. They've attached it, like, to their belt or something. And, you know, it's supposed to be cool. But maybe I'm just too old. I don't get it, number one. And then to the point where people are going to start stealing them.
Yeah.
So they can turn around and probably sell them online or something like that. I think
you're right to compare it to the craze of the Beanie Babies, though.
Beanie Babies, maybe even back. Oh, granted, it was specifically a toy. It wasn't a collectible, but a toy like Cabbage Patch Kids, and I think there's been another doll that has been hugely popular. So people are fighting over it in department stores when it was on sale for Christmas, back in the day.
Just wait until Christmas time with these Labubus if you can even get them. I'm sure there'll be more crimes related to thefts or people getting in fights over them and stuff, but I don't know. I'm sure there aren't a lot of little kids are asking for Labubus for Christmas if they don't already have a collection of them. I don't know how much they are.
I don't either.
I think I saw somewhere maybe like $30 or something, but I suppose it depends on what you're getting, you know, what size you're getting of it. They kind of, I don't know, they're kind of different.
They
look like the Abominable Snowman from
Rudolph
movie or like a Teletubby sort of along
kind of a
the line
Teletubby
of
kind of a troll's doll kind of thing kind of happened. They got little spiky teeth on them or something.
To each his own.
It's not my thing. So.
No, mine neither. 7:44. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is in with your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 7:46, time now for your three-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
You said 83 on Friday, Dino.
No, I didn't. I said 81.
No, you didn't. I have it written down.
You know, I know I said 81.
He's even got it written down, so don't let him fool you. I mean, I know this is radio, but...
Jerk.
Lame.
Jerk? Well, that's actually a compliment coming from you. So,
all right, one in a row.
Yeah, we hit 81. So a couple degrees off. Today we're going to go 84. A lot of hazy sunshine today. Majority of the day should be dry, but a cold front swings through towards about 6 o'clock. Could trigger off a few evening storms. But other than that, just again, if you're allergic to smoke
or sensitive to it,
we know the drill. We've had to deal with it all
summer,
but today's kind of thick though. I mean,
yeah,
look at this.
That's why they wrote the song Hazy Shade of Summer, right?
Or there's a
Smoke on the Water.
Mm-hmm. What else?
I don't know.
There's got to be a Jimmy Buffett song in there
smoke
too.
Smoke gets in my eyes. Yeah. I think it was a different kind of smoke they were talking about.
I was going to say, didn't Cheech and Chong have a song or two?
Well, you know these Canadians.
Going up in smoke.
They say this is Canadian wildfire smoke. Yeah, of course it is.
Hey, it's legal there.
Yeah, but 84 for today's three-degree guarantee.
And that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
It is 7:47. A couple of interesting stories in health news, and we'll chat about it coming up next. 7:50 coming up this Wednesday right here in our studio parking lots, 2852 Thunder Road South. We are honoring and celebrating local teachers and school staff members. If you're a teacher or school staff member, you are invited out for lunch, free lunch from 11 to 2 this Wednesday.
We're going to have a variety of food trucks providing free lunch, bouncy houses for kids, games, prizes, and so much more. It's our way of saying thanks for what you do. Thank you to our great sponsors, Capstone Classical Academy, Meats by John and Wayne, UND Alumni Foundation, Welton's Tire Service, and Glass Doctor Auto.
A couple of interesting stories here I saw that popped up on the medical news. The FDA has approved a new device for rheumatoid arthritis. It's a neck implant called the Set Point System. Gives a small zap of electricity to the vagus nerve once a day to lessen inflammation. The company says the device will be available in some U.S. cities later this year and nationally in early 2026. So if you suffer from rheumatoid arthritis, it sounds like some exciting news there on the front. 75% of patients no longer needed medication for rheumatoid arthritis that took part in this clinical study. A new study finds that losing lithium, I guess, which is a natural element found in your brain.
You don't want to lose it, and you got to know where you put it.
They say it's an early symptom of Alzheimer's if you lose lithium in your brain.
Oh.
And this is a study in the journal Nature, which came out of Harvard Medical School. It found that lithium is vital to the health of all major types of brain cells. It says maintaining normal lithium levels in the mice that they studied as they aged protected the brain from changes associated with the disease, and they say it could open the door to new treatments for Alzheimer's. So that's pretty exciting there.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw something, and it was on social media, so I don't remember if it was an actual article cited by like the American Journal of Medicine or anything like that. I thought there might be working on a vaccine that could help those patients with HIV.
Yes, I did see that last week crossover one day, too, so you were correct there. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was legit or not. But.
Yep, I did see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one's interesting. A recent study finds a parent's workplace chemical exposure could be tied to multiple developmental and behavioral issues in their children with autism. Researchers at UC Davis and the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, they looked at data from families with children on the spectrum. They also looked into the job history of the mothers and fathers starting 3 months before pregnancy and then matched job history with the children's autism severity scores, behaviors, cognitive skills, and daily skills. They found jobs in which parents were exposed to plastics, polymers, ethylene oxide, and phenol were linked to cognitive performance, adaptive skills, behavioral issues, autism severity, and weaker daily living skills. That's interesting.
So that would so does that mean that the parents were exposed to that before the birth of the child, or they're just exposed to it at work
before and then they conceive?
Ah, okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that'll be the key to unlocking, too, is a step forward in that direction, too.
I would hope so, because autism, ADHD, stuff like that, I mean, that's so hard to deal with.
753, this was once a staple of the early internet era. It's going bye-bye. We'll talk about your money markets coming up next. 757, checking out your money and markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks close higher to end the week on Friday. The tech-heavy NASDAQ closed at a record high after Apple provided a major boost with the announcement of plans to spend $600 billion in U.S. investments in the coming years. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 206 points, S&P 500 was up 49, and the NASDAQ gained 207.
Coming up in the business week ahead, things get off to a relatively slow start with no notable economic reports on today's calendar. Inflation will be in the spotlight the following day with the release of the latest consumer price index. The producer price index is due on Thursday, along with weekly jobless claims. Retail sales and consumer sentiment close out the week on Friday.
President Trump's tariffs are expected to or projected to increase prices for us by nearly 2% in the short term. According to a new analysis from the Budget Lab at Yale, consumers face an overall effective tariff rate of 18.6%. or 17.7% when adjusted for shopper preference, which is the highest since 1934. The analysis found that tariffs will primarily impact leather products in the short run, while automobile prices could rise nearly 10% in the long run. Budget Lab also projected that low-income households will feel the cost of the tariffs more than their high-income counterparts.
Federal government plans to start selling its ownership in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The two government-created mortgage guarantors that work to keep the market stable. The organizations have been under conservatorship since the 2008 financial crisis, and now the government plans to start selling shares to the public later this year. While Fannie and Freddie were once publicly traded, it's unclear what the new process or structure would be.
If you had this, you will never forget that tone. Mm-hmm. AOL is shutting down its dial-up internet service after more than four decades.
I didn't know
when
they
that came out. I just thought that was the slickest thing ever.
I didn't know they were still had the actual dial-up availability. I thought guess. That died a long time ago.
Well, there's still people out there with landlines. Once the staple of the early internet era, the service which connected modems through phone lines at one time boasted millions of customers. Even as late as 2015, AOL had more than 2 million dial-up customers. That number has since dropped to the low thousands. That service, if you still have it, you're one of the holdouts. It's going to be ending September 30th.
Look, you can still go to their website and use your email address. I'm pretty sure of that. So, lastly, Bonnie, two popular sweeteners are being recalled nationwide due to labeling mix-up. According to the FDA, Natural is recalling its organic pure stevia and pure monk fruit sweetener because 78 bottles of each were found to bear the other's label. The 1 ounce bottles of organic pure stevia and the 0.71 ounce bottles of pure monk fruit sweetener have a best buy date of April 2028. The FDA advises that the probability of serious health problems is low despite upgrading the recall.
There's a nonprofit here in our community that their parking lot is in tough shape. They need a new parking lot, so they are holding a fundraiser, and they've turned it into a family-friendly event. And we're going to get all the details on that coming up about 8:10 this morning. It is 8 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. 8:02, time now for a check on your forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
It's like a Cheech and Chong movie out there, isn't it? Man, Canadian smoke continues to pour into the area, upper level mostly, but I think we will see some of this filter down to the lower levels. So if you're sensitive to the smoke, it could be a little rough day for you. Bonnie will use every excuse on the golf course this afternoon. I'm sure she'll use smoke. What else?
Whatever.
You know, I
hopefully don't have to ride with you.
Wow.
I'm going to change the names on the card if I get stuck with him.
It is going to be a hazy afternoon with the smoke. It's going to be a mild day. Temps in about 80, low to mid 80s, and we'll have winds out of the southwest about 10 to 25. So a little breeze out there. Now, we will have a cold front coming through this evening, about 6 or so. That'll trigger off an isolated storm or two. And then temperatures cool off a little bit back into the upper 70s for tomorrow. So not a bad day if you exclude the smoke.
Yeah.
But you can't. So
right.
Kind of a hazy day out there today.
All righty. 8:03, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty joins us after that. And then we're going to get details on a parking lot fundraiser for Haley's Hope. All that and more coming up in the next half hour here on Bonnie and Friends. 8:07, we're going to get details on a parking lot fundraiser. It's an event, so you'll have fun going and helping raise the money for a great nonprofit in our community. First of all, we want to get your WDAY radio sports in with Big Game James McCarty.
Twins walking off the Kansas City Royals 5-3 in 11 innings Sunday afternoon, thanks to rookie second baseman Luke Kuechel's two-run homer. That would give the Twins the series rubber match, and they now improved to 5-4 since the trade deadline, where they sold 11 players, including 10 from the active big league roster. They're 56-61 and currently sit 5 games out of the final playoff spot in the American League with 45 games remaining in the regular season. That team that's ahead of them, the New York Yankees, well, Twins are heading to the Bronx to take on those Yanks beginning at 6:05 this evening on MLB Network. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks defeat the Sioux City Explorers 4-2 in their series rubber match on Sunday. The difference was a two-run homer in the top of the first inning from Michael Hallquist. Redhawks are now off Monday before returning to Newman Outdoor Field Tuesday night for a matchup against the Sioux City Explorers. The Redhawks are 47-34 here on the season. In preseason play, the Vikings got their first win of the 2025 season, I suppose. You look at it that way, taking down the Houston Texans 20-10. Four different quarterbacks making appearances, led by J.J. McCarthy, who had a 30 yards passing on 4 of 7 from the field. He had 8 yards rushing as well in one drive. Sam Howell, 105 yards passing and a rushing touchdown. Max Brosmer, a passing touchdown and 47 yards through the air on a drive. 12 players catching passes for the Vikings. They intercepted 3 passes as well, and they'll host the New England Patriots in their second preseason game Saturday at noon as we get a little bit closer to the regular season. PGA Tour St. Jude Championship, Justin Rose defeating J.J. Spahn in a trio of playoff holes after they both were 16 under par after regulation. Rose gets $3.6 million in earnings, Spahn with $2.1 million. Scottie Scheffler and Tommy Fleetwood would finish tied for third at 15 under par. Tom Hoagie missed the cut at 6 over par. Minnesota Lynx take down the New York Liberty 83-71 on Sunday afternoon, led by Kayla McBride's 18 points. They improved to a league best 27-5 on the year. They're off until Saturday when they host that same Liberty squad, this time at the Target Center. 1 p.m. will be tip-off, coverage available on CBS. And per Sham Sharania and ESPN, the NBA announcing its Christmas Day slate, including 5 matchups with the Knicks hosting the Cavs, Thunder host the Spurs, Lakers hosting the Rockets, Warriors hosting the Mavericks, and the Denver Nuggets hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. I had told my parents, I said, don't plan on missing Christmas because you guys are going to this game in Denver. And my mom proceeded to remind me this morning that the Vikings host the Lions on Christmas Day. So maybe we'll just have to do it, you know, on the Sunday, Monday after, whatever day Christmas falls on. I don't know if it's a Saturday or a Friday or a Monday at this point. But, you know, maybe the 26th of Christmas we'll have to all get together because I think we might be dispersed at this point.
Or Jimmy's cooking for the family.
Figure out how to cook the ham while not burning the outside, keeping the inside raw.
Do I cut it in half?
Do I quarter it? Is there a crock pot involved?
Well, the thing that's going to happen is that your folks are going to go, you can come to the game with us, but you got to buy your own ticket.
That too.
Meet us there. Just fly there.
Adulting is hard, isn't it?
I'm starting to struggle, guys. I'm off the parents' insurance now, man. I don't know what to do.
You've aged out, Big Game James McCarty. We've got a lot of wonderful nonprofits in our community here doing great things. There's lots of needs, lots of things they need to fund. There's lots of wants, lots of needs. And one of them, Haley's Hope in West Fargo, I have a picture I'm looking at. What they need is a parking lot. And so they're turning the parking lot fundraiser into a fun event for you guys to enjoy. And joining us now, Carrie Buckles, Haley's Hope, joining us now on Bonnie and Friends to talk more about them. Good morning to you, Haley. I mean, Carrie, excuse me.
Okay, good morning. Great to be here.
Tell us, I know Haley's Hope is named after your son. Tell us all about Haley's Hope. How did this start out?
Well, it really started out after our son Haley struggled for 2.5 years, starting in preschool, kindergarten, first grade, just understanding those black marks on a page in school. So just he could not read, no matter how much we tried to practice reading, how much help he got by private tutors, and realized after I did a lot of research and traveled to St. Paul that he is profoundly dyslexic. And once I was able to figure out how to teach him, I often say I got my little boy back. But I started Haley's Hope in 2011, really because it's one in five individuals, children and adults, because if you haven't gotten support as a child or in school, you are still dyslexic as an adult. So we help a lot of adults too. So we really strive to, you know, teach people how to read so that you're not illiterate as you get older.
I didn't realize the number was that high. Mm-hmm. I personally have a friend who is dyslexic, and maybe I have many more and I'm just not aware of it. But it's nice to know that those that suffer from dyslexia can be taught with the right help.
Absolutely. I just, you know, so many times parents will come in and say, you know what, they want to hold my child back, or, you know, I don't know if they're ever going to go to college, or, you know, what kind of job are they going to get? And I'm like, you know, with the right help, anybody can do anything they want to do. And I just go back to my son. You know, we struggled every year if he was going to pass first grade, second grade, third grade. And he, graduated from high school with honors. He went to UND and graduated with honors. And, he's successful in business right now. It's just, you have to learn what those words are all around us every day, whether it's at the gas station, the grocery store, if you're out shopping for something, if you're just sitting at home looking at a TV, there are words on it.
Now, Carrie, when you talk to your son now, obviously he's become a successful adult, able to obviously read, write, etc. Is there a way for you to kind of, has he ever explained to you then what things are like for him? I mean, I'm kind of curious as far as that dyslexia go, do words look kind of different to him than they do to us, or do they just, in a sense, just not make sense as to how they're spelt compared to how they're spoken?
Yeah, it's such a question we get all the time. And we actually do a presentation that has simulations in it to allow an audience to feel what it's like to be dyslexic, to feel what it's like to be so frustrated, not understanding those words on a page. Mm-hmm. So it's not about those things looking different.
Uh-huh.
It's like starting to read a foreign language.
Ah, okay.
We don't understand that shape of an A says A. Mm-hmm. We don't understand that shape is actually a T and it says T, mm-hmm. right? It's like reading, it's like sticking a foreign language in front of you and having you read out loud to the class.
Oh, yeah.
When you don't know what those shapes and symbols reflect.
Yeah, I mean, especially if we have James or myself have to pronounce golfers from Japan or China.
Exactly.
It doesn't particularly go well. What your son went through going to school over in that West Fargo school district, then did that just kind of prompt you to try and become a bigger part of the community and to set up this nonprofit, Haley's Hope, to try and help others with that same learning disability going forward, and just felt like a calling for you guys?
It really did, because when I found out it was one in five, mm-hmm. and came back from learning, a lot of parents and some of the teachers that he had said, you know, well, what did you do? Like, how come he can read now, mm-hmm. right? And we couldn't teach him how to. So I just realized that there were other kids out there and other parents out there battling what we were battling without any resources. One of my big goals starting it here is because we drove to the Minneapolis area once a week for 6 months to get mm-hmm. him tutored. And one of my goals opening here was not only to have access to this metro area, but to really reach those rural areas that just don't have services. So, there are kids dyslexic in Botno, North Dakota, and Minot, and, you know, Cavalier, and, you know, Northern Minnesota, mm-hmm. which doesn't have any services. So we do have a really great virtual program to help support that population, too.
Well, and that's such a great, great idea because, yeah, I mean, if you have to go down to Minneapolis, St. Paul area to receive that type of tutoring to be able to help your child become
able to communicate and read things properly. Yeah, you think about it. I mean, even growing up, I grew up in a tiny town. We had to drive 45 minutes to a town that had a decent grocery store. So having that access to this type of training and tutoring locally makes it so much easier for those that need it in rural areas to get that help. Now, the location you guys are at is just right off of 13th Avenue. It's technically 1150 Prairie Parkway in West Fargo. I kind of know that area. It's kind of back behind over by that vet clinic over there behind JL Beers, et cetera. But your guys' parking lot is not exactly in the best of shape. So
thanks for the attached picture. Yeah, it gives us a great visual.
Definitely. I mean, trust me, everybody knows about bad parking lots, bad roads, especially when you come out of wintertime into the spring. But you're trying to do something about that, because obviously you don't really need people having a terrible parking lot to try and get into the building to be able to use those services. So what do you guys got going on tomorrow from 4 to 7?
Yeah, correct. It's been a couple of years, and this year we had ducks in our parking lot in our pothole pond. So we thought, you know what, we need to fix this for our clientele. So, yeah, we decided to do a parking lot party. We can't obviously redo the whole parking lot, so we're doing a mill and overlay. And our parking lot party is just bringing together all of our parents and our kiddos and our supporters to, you know, have a hot dog and we got some the little miniature horses from NDSU are coming to visit. We've got a lot of yard games. We've got some fresh corn on the cob that's going to be for sale. So we really just want to embrace, you know, our community and help support easier and safer way to get in to get services for everybody.
Yeah, food, music, games. You mentioned the miniature horses, fun for all ages. And again, this is tomorrow from 4 to 7 p.m., 1150 Prairie Parkway in West Fargo, fundraiser to get a new mill and overlay for Haley's Hope parking lot there. And I know you guys are trying to raise $15,000 to repair your parking lot, but if people can't come to the event, what would be the best way to help you out, Carrie?
You know, you can go and donate right on our website. It's haleyshope.org. Certainly look us up, send a check in the mail, or just give us a phone call and we'll meet you where you're at.
And we should mention too, not only children, don't you also work with adults? So maybe if somebody is listening and they've been struggling, you know, with reading or whatever stuff they're trying to do, balance a checkbook or whatever, and they might be dyslexic, adults can contact you too and they get analyzed there at Haley's Hope as well.
Yes, absolutely. Again, if you haven't received support as a youngster or as a student, you're still dyslexic as an adult. And we work with a lot of adults, and really it just helps them in their careers and in their jobs and, you know, in life skills. So, yes, adults too. We are here to help.
Very good. So haleyshope.org. We can find more info there and get a hold of you guys that way as well.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us on. We're excited for our party.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Carrie, you bet, and we hope you have a great fundraiser as well. Thank you for your time.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
You bet. Carrie Buckles, Haley's Hope in West Fargo.
Parking lot fundraiser party, paving the way for learning, which is tomorrow, August 12th, from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 1150 Parkway. A Prairie Parkway in West Fargo, like I said, behind the JL Beers. There's a vet clinic that they built over there. So right off of 13th Avenue there, and they're going to have food, games, music, miniature horses.
She
and
had
fun
me
trolleys.
At miniature horses.
Miniature horses. You're like, oh, yeah, like horses, but smaller.
I mean, how fun. Like, I know. Go check it out. If you've got littles in your life, grandkids, kids, bring them with, and you know, you'll have a fun time, and you'll also help raise money for a great cause.
Exactly. It's so nice to be able to have some events like these to help do something like that. Just something simple. I mean, you don't have to, you know, deposit a, you know, your paycheck into this. Just any little bit will help.
Absolutely.
And we've got such
it
a great
adds up.
We've got such a great community in the Fargo Moorhead, West Fargo, etc. area that you know, little things like this, they can add up to quite a bit in a short amount of time, and it helps them provide better quality parking lot for them to provide those services to youth and adults that need the help.
And if you can't make the event or you want to find out more information, again, go to haleyshope.org AgAmerica.org. You can make a donation right there, too, if you would like. 821, we're heading to the American Ag Network. 824, coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback. We do that each and every morning right here on Bonnie and Friends, right around 6:56. We're going to be, one of these artists makes two different segments. Once is a solo artist.
Okay.
And another as a member of a band.
Mm-hmm.
And the song, when he was with a band, he wrote a song that became a number one hit about the three loves in his life.
Oh, very nice.
His wife, his mom, and his grandma. How sweet is that?
That's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. In top artists, he had a lot of hit songs over the years. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback. Again, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Ronnie from the Coffee Club has joined us in studio. Good morning to you, Ronnie.
What's up?
So you ever have those moments where you just have a brain fart?
Are you brain fog? One of those right now?
No.
Which time?
Brain fart or fog?
No, there was one lady, and it was documented on TikTok. So sometimes retail workers, they have to deal with customers. They get a little confused, right? But this lady thought she got shortchanged. This TikToker shared a bizarre encounter from her retail job where a customer tried to pay a bill that was $22.93, okay?
$22.93, got it.
She paid it with a $20 bill. And then she refused to believe that it wasn't enough and that she, not only did she think that the $20 covered $22.93, she actually insisted she was owed $2.93 in change. So she was completely, like, off for whatever reason.
That is hard for some people.
Yeah. The lady politely explained the math. The consumer, you know, customer held firm. Even when the manager stepped in, the numbers didn't click for her. It was only after somebody else physically counted up from 20, 21, 22, 22.50, 22.93 that the customer finally realized that she was short. TikTok commenters were baffled. Some even blamed the education system. Others joked about how people like this can still vote, drive, and operate microwaves. And one user commented, said, "I need to lie down after reading this." So, you know, sometimes you need a price scanner and a calculator and nerves of steel to be able to deal with customers. Just because this lady was convinced that it was a $22.93 bill and somehow she gave her $20 and she was supposed to get that $2.93
back. Does it say the age of this person by chance?
No, it doesn't. Mm. Sometimes you just, like my mom, like we tried to explain with it. We have a running joke in my family about us not wanting a black belt to go with our jeans and whatnot when we were in high school because I was off to college. My brother lived at home. We went to our favorite store at the time, Shopko. We bought the belt, and there was only one of them. And we went back to my mom because both my brother and I needed one. And we're like, there's only one black one, so I'll get it this time. Next time you guys come to Watertown, because I only went home maybe once every 6 weeks or so. It was like, next time you guys come to Watertown, you can buy my little brother one. And so my mom, with this blank look on her face, just went and looked at both of us and like, "You mean you don't want a black one?" "No, there's only one black one left, Mom. Both of us can't share it because we don't live in the same house anymore. You want a black one?" So to this
maybe
day.
Maybe she was tuning you out or something.
I don't know.
Hey, if it was my family, you'd have shared that only black belt.
Yep, you absolutely would have.
Even though you're 3 hours apart?
Yeah, if your waist size is the same, that's, you know.
We were about the same, you know, same waist size, I suppose.
I see we had another violent incident here in Fargo this morning, 12:41 this morning. Officers responded to a report of a stabbing, 1300 block, 32nd Street South. 33-year-old Fargo resident Bomine Don taken into custody. SWAT team was called out for that.
Not related to
male
any of the
other taken
ones.
To the hospital, treated for injuries that were not life threatening. So that's good.
No relation to the other incidents we've had recently.
Well, I said that.
I had seen quite the weekend again. Another shooting. Yeah. A sex offender floundering, then rescued in the Red River.
Yeah. There's been a lot of garbage lately. Yeah. No doubt. All right. Yeah. What do you guys got cooking on the coffee club?
Well, it's a big Monday on the coffee club.
Why is it so big, Ronnie?
Well, you know, it's mostly because I'm on it. Okay. But, you know, I mean, by sheer weight alone.
Oh,
you know, but,
Ronnie.
Dream Farm, Kayla Klonowski is in for promoting their open house. And then, of course, we got Small Business Monday. Nash
Family Bacon is in, so I'm excited to hear about the operation.
Are they bringing samples for you?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
If they're not bringing samples, they don't even need to bother showing up.
Exactly, exactly. And then there's all kinds of fun and frivolity and, you know, a couple of news items we'll talk about. So all of that all coming up on the Coffee Club.
All right, stay tuned for that. Jace, let's get out of here.
All right, you betcha.
Bonnie and friends, we will be back tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock. Have yourselves a great day and stay tuned for the Coffee Club. Janae and Ronnie coming up next.